controversy has been erupting over the past couple of months pertaining to the Olympics. We had this alternate for the Olympic BMX park, I think it is, saying that their intention was to get on the podium to burn the American flag, and then that got everybody, I think most everybody who listens to Fox News, riled up because most of the left-leaning outlets didn't really talk about it. And now we have the story that's actually picking up steam and has become pretty viral of this woman who won third place in the hammer throw protesting the national anthem. Now, that's still, I find it interesting that we have the culture war getting to the point where people are torn between whether to be proud of themselves in the Olympics and happy that America has chosen them and protesting it to virtue signal. Well, of course, Joe Biden's going to come out and say, hey, come on, man, you know, it's a right to protest. And oh, come on, dude, it's the Olympics. You're going to stand up. You're going to be like, you know, we're here for America. And I get it. Protest has happened in the Olympics, but I think the culture war is getting to that point where a lot of people actually want to be proud of themselves, but they're torn between the virtue signal or otherwise. So we're going to talk about that. We got a bunch of other serious stories as well. There's a Right Wing Watch, as you may have heard, was briefly banned. And as they say, live by the sword. This is an organization that lives to get conservatives and people on the right banned, or at least hurt them financially, all in the name of getting Democrats elected. So we'll talk about that stuff too, get political. And we are being joined today by our number one fan and number one troll of our chat, Adrian Curry.
I'm not a troll anymore. I will no longer be trolling.
Now you're on the show.
Yeah.
No, so you're actually like a big Hollywood star.
I just Deadpooled it. I broke down the wall, so now I can't troll.
Yeah, no, I still haven't seen that movie.
Is it good? What? It's great.
Deadpool. It's fantastic, and I thought he would do a horrible job, and I was very wrong.
I thought it was, yeah, I was enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. But do you want to actually just briefly introduce yourself?
Maybe? I am a reality TV original. I've been retired since 2015. I am now just an Avon lady, but the reason I like to blame the narcissism in the world on me and Kelly Clarkson, because we won Top Model and American Idol in the same year.
Wow.
And thus began the slow decline of society.
It's all your fault. Right? Thanks for being here. And
you're welcome.
There we go. Right around when the Iraq War began. Yeah. I mean, that was really a powerful year, right? Adrian.
Everyone's a model on Instagram now, and we're still at war in the Middle East.
That's a lot to blame her for.
Yeah.
Dude, blame me. I voted for like an idiot. Yeah. I was just like, yeah.
Did anyone not?
Yeah.
A lot of people walked right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks, guys. I'm Ian Cross on Adrian. I'm glad you're here. I've been following your work for 8 months or so.
I'm sorry.
And I'm invigorated.
No way. Sorry. Yeah, I'm delighted to have Adrian here because our birthdays are very close together, and she's the same height as I am, and we have the same shoe size. I freaking love it. I'm a huge fan now, so
we're
I'm excited.
Big checks.
We got big feet. Yeah. Good stuff. Right. I'm going to throw it back to Tim.
Don't forget, go to timcast.com. Become a member to get access to our exclusive members-only segments and help support our newsroom. We just hired 3 people. Oh, this is crazy.
Cool.
Every day I look at how many people we have working here, and it's more and more, and I'm like every person we hire is me putting shackles on, mm-hmm. where I have to make sure the company runs. I have to be responsible for doing more. But it is because so many of you signed up, and so quickly, I felt a responsibility to do my best to make sure we can bring all these people on. So we literally just hired 3 people for production so we can do a lot more. We got another person who's coming in tomorrow to join the newsroom. We're going to be hiring another person, an editor, then a building manager and a receptionist. Man, what's going on? We're making a company here. It's fantastic, and it's all thanks to you. So we're going to have a bonus segment with Adrian at the around 11 or so it goes up. And this is all the dirty secrets and stuff that we're not allowed to talk about on YouTube. So you're going to want to stick around for this. But for now, we're going to be talking about the important news of the day. We got this really interesting story. This one strikes me as an odd story. All right, so here it is from Daily Mail. Biden, quote, respects Olympic hammer thrower Gwen Berry's right to turn back on flag and believes being patriotic means to recognize when U.S. hasn't lived up to its highest ideal. This is the big story right now. She won third place, which means she's secured a spot on the Olympic team going to Tokyo. But when they played the national anthem, the two other women who got first and second place turned and put their hands on their hearts. And she turns and makes this like angry look and then says, stop playing with me. Then says, I was being set up. They did it on purpose. They were going to play it before, but they knew they got me. And it's like, it's America. Like, we live in America, you know, you're going to the Olympics to support the country. Turning away from your own anthem or being mad that the anthem's being played to me is like kind of weird. But here's the core of what I want to get into in terms of this discussion. the culture war has got to the point where I kind of feel like this lady and her mom and her family were probably crying with joy that she's in the Olympics. She won. She did it. But when they play the national anthem, she's being torn, right? If she stands there and puts her hands on her heart, her hand on her heart for the national anthem, how many of these like Black Lives Matter activists, leftists are going to be like, why would you do that? Why would you support the oppression? And so I wonder if her attitude was kind of like, what do I do?
Maybe it's like the movie Cuties. Like the family was so proud of their children for doing this movie. And everyone else is like, what? But they're just going to stand by it anyway because that's their girl, you know? So maybe it's just that kind of like tribalism, like you're familia. You're just going to stand up for these people, even though, I mean, the fact that our president, like, oh, please help me. Help. Can I go back to Montana now? Like,
no, you got this.
Why would he be okay with this? Why would any president be like, yes, hate our country. It's great. Patriotic.
There have been people who did like the power fist, the black power fists, or AKA red salute in the past. So I recognize protests at the Olympics. They banned it.
Was that like going like to the flag? No.
Right.
That was not pooping on the flag. That was like, oh, I'm going to do a protest, but not blatantly be like, I hate this country that I represent. And I lost very badly.
But let's differentiate between doing Cuties and making the Olympics. Those little girls in Cuties were being abused.
No. You know. I think doing what she did to the flag was abuse. So I'm
right.
The Olympics is awesome. Like, these people are great. I think she was just so mad that she didn't win that the only way to take the moment from the winner was to make it all about herself. I thought it was incredibly narcissistic.
Yeah. Because the person who was in first place now, no one even knows her name.
Nobody knows and nobody cares. It's like going to a wedding and making it all about you and stealing the bride's thunder.
How much you want to bet she gets a deal with Nike and they do something, stand up, even if everyone says you're wrong.
Help
or something.
Us oppress more people with Colin being mad at oppression.
Subpar athlete.
Yes.
Well, not subpar. Obviously, she's great.
No,
she's third
you said
place.
It
she
right.
She's par. She's par. She's third
she's
place.
Par athlete.
Yeah, par athlete.
What if she actually focused on being a better athlete instead of hating her country and activism? Maybe she would have been first.
I never got the not burning, destroying the flag thing. Like, I was always like, yeah, destroy the flag. Cool, whatever. I'm not into, like,
Iconoclast?
Is that what iconoclast? I'm not into like idol worship, like worshiping icons. So I don't know why people care that it's a piece of cloth. Like maybe 200 years ago when you needed it to say this is my army, there was a purpose for it. But nowadays it seems like
that's where I go full blown Republican. Where I'm like, why don't you go burn the Hollywood sign because that has hurt so many people. But America has like given us so much great stuff. Like, why would you?
I think I figured it out, actually, because I was thinking about this story, and I remember this thing that Penn and Teller did, where they burn the American flag as a magic trick. They don't really burn it, but they, like, roll the Constitution, and then he puts the flag in it, and then a flame comes out, and the flag's gone. And Penn says, he's a very libertarian guy, burning the flag is the ultimate symbol of the freedom that it represents. So I've always been a fan of that idea. So long as it's your flag, and you're safe, I don't care. But I think I figured it out. I'm like, why does this one upset me? Like, why should I complain about a lady who's expressing the freedom of America by protesting? And it's simple. Like, sure, when I'm at home and I'm fighting with my parents, I can say really nasty things about my siblings. It doesn't leave the house, but we express that internally and we go outside. Someone says nasty things about my family, I'll be like, don't you talk about my family that way.
Yeah, she's so, representing our country.
Exactly.
Us. And she's like, you all suck. And I'm like, you suck. You lost.
She's still. Technically, she lost. I guess you could say technically
she
won.
No, not this participation trophy. Nobody is happy with their silver and bronze. Nobody's happy. No, I used to run track and cross country. I was never happy. Oh, here's your third place. I was like, are you happy when you like rank bad when you're playing World of Warcraft or you didn't get a good armor drop? No. Like, you're not proud of
remember
it.
Remember Michaela Maroney? She got silver and she does the face.
Loved
like
her face.
And it became a meme because it was like...
Because it's truth.
Yeah.
She did well.
Yep.
but she didn't get what she wanted.
One value to this. So this is a person finished third place and they burned a flag. Is that right? Or
no. They played the national anthem, and then when the first and second place lady turned to the flag and put their hands on their heart, she turns to the camera and she like makes a frumpy look, angry.
What it might do that's good is show other citizens from around the world and like totalitarian regimes that they can also talk crap against their government and like kind of seed the flames of like
no,
democratic
they're
going to
use
rebellion.
It as propaganda of why we suck and why the CCP is so great.
That's true.
That's what they
happen.
Do. You know why? Because their athletes wouldn't do that because they'd ship them off to a camp.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is cool that we can protest in this country, but this is like
what are you protesting at the Olympics?
Right. You have chosen to be in the upper echelon of the athletes of the world. By choice, you went here and did this. You knew you were going to be wearing the American flag, and they would play the anthem when you, like, walk out, and you're act. That's why I think it's not real. I think she's... Imagine it this way. You want to be a famous and rich athlete. You got to get the endorsement. That's where it's all at.
It's press. None of it's real. None of what anyone does for attention in front of cameras is real. It's all a lie. They only want clicks and likes and traction and money.
And because she stuck it to the cons, how many leftist liberal types are going like, woo, yeah, you tell
give
them.
Her money. Yep.
She'll get, you know, Dan Crenshaw said that she should be kicked off the team or whatever. I'm sure she'd love it. Look at Colin Kaepernick. Mm. He's making more money having left the NFL than he was, at least that's my understanding. Like, he got this big Nike deal.
Wow.
His face
he
on
is
billboards.
So oppressed. You know, I pray for him every night because what a rough life.
Yeah, he's had it hard.
And I can't imagine, you know, because, you know, he just has to wake up and then he takes a couple $100 bills and wipes his tears away.
He wraps himself in slave-made garments from little children being whipped and not paid. And then he cries about how hard his life is.
That's what I always loved about the activism. It's like they use all of this technology, all of the raw materials from slave labor around the world, mostly in China and other, you know, Southeast Asian countries. And, like, they're wearing clothes from Bangladesh and stuff. And they're like, I'm so oppressed.
Well, hasn't Nike literally said Nike is a company, like,
of China, for China?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Well, then go to China,
exactly.
Baby.
Your market here is dead.
Nike means victory, I think, in ancient Greek or something.
Does it?
Yeah.
I thought it meant pain and suffering.
I mean, yeah, pretty much at this point.
I can see like the value of winning and then wrapping yourself in the American flag and being like, look, this country gave me the opportunity to become the great, as great as I am.
People would complain about that too because you're not supposed to wrap yourself in the flag. I've done it. Oh. And all my conservative buddies were mad. And I said, Old Glory never had a better time than when she was wrapped around me.
That's
so
fair.
So giving like worship to the flag, showing the flag, like holding it reverence. But then I can also see the value of like lighting it on fire and being like, look, we're Americans. We're allowed to do this.
Yeah,
look how great the world can be.
Do that at home. But when you're representing your country, it's like your family. You don't fight in front of other people. You don't go to church and sit there and brawl with each other in the pews.
No, I view it like, you know, maybe somebody said, hey, would you be interested in having a good faith debate to discuss our differences? And then the other person says, absolutely, just let me know when, and then offers up the date, and then privately says, I was never actually going to debate you. I have no respect for this, and then publicly use it to drum up drama and just make money and grift off it. Or, like, if you ask someone to do a good faith debate, and they agreed to, and then at the last minute subbed in this other grifter guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm half kidding. But my point is, like, it is kind of like that. It's like, we said to this person, hey, we invite you to, you know, wear our flag and represent us. And then she, like, gets up there and just, you know, she wasn't at the Olympics. This is the Olympic trials. And just is basically like, I never actually cared about you. I never wanted to represent you. She said, the anthem has never represented me, so why would I want to represent it? And it's like, then what are you here for? We asked you to represent us. Go home. Like, no beef. I'm not saying you're really great at your sport. I'm really impressed. It's fantastic. But if you don't want to be here, would you mind leaving so someone who does can be?
I guess, since it is like the Olympics, it's kind of like someone for the Cleveland Browns after they win the Super Bowl and they rip off their Browns uniform. They're like, I'm not a Cleveland Brown. I'm a human. And you're like, dude, the Cleveland Browns just won. Give some rep to the Cleveland Browns tonight.
Like, why are you on the team if you don't want to be on the team, dude?
Right.
Yeah, like Colin Kaepernick really tried hard to get back in the NFL, though. So this is what my point I'm trying to say is, I don't think she actually knows or cares for the most part about any of this. I think she was standing there, and the thought probably occurred to her, if I stand for the anthem, the left is going to come after me and say, what are you doing? Black Lives Matter, all that stuff. And so she was between a rock and a hard place. I think about Colin Kaepernick, who's like, I'm going to kneel during the NFL. And so then he gets basically cut. Nobody wants him. And he's desperate to get back in. Years later, the dude is so desperate to get back in, he can't do it.
I'm so glad.
Nobody wants him.
I'm so glad. Do you really think they would have came after, though? Would it even have been a moment that anyone would have cared about at all? No.
In her circles, though.
What, with her four friends?
Several years ago, she protested something and lost sponsors over it. So it seems like she might be someone who lives in that, you know, paranoid, far-left Twitter reality where she's
get off Twitter, girl. Yeah. Free yourself. Everyone leave Twitter. It's amazing. I'm happier. Every moment is a joy.
Yeah, what
Twitter,
has life
Twitter is
been
the
like?
Worst thing.
Life has been great. My husband unplugged from all the Matrix. He's, I mean, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everything. And what we learned was we wasted a hell of a lot of time sitting on these little things, looking into our phones. Like, I got Faraday bags, like, shut off the phone, throw it in there. Everyone's listening.
I heard he like fights bears now. He like learned how to box grizzlies and he like gained 200 pounds of muscle.
He's always been huge and he walks in front of me because we're in a traditional relationship. Totally fine being the woman. That doesn't mean I'm not empowered, but that's my dude. And he is not a soy latte. And if a bear is coming, he will die first.
Like a rooster. He would like run into battle.
Like a rooster.
Yes, I'm his main hen.
That's right.
Roosters. And if there's another hen, I'm going to go pop that chick.
Roosters sacrifice themselves.
Whoa.
They do?
For their girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Have you ever seen the videos of roosters like battling hawks and like crazy predators? Dude, they go for it. They're like, that's my girl. And they do it.
It's the ultimate compliment. I didn't say chicken. Chicken's the disparaging one. Rooster is the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Roosters are brave. They'll run at a giant predator knowing they'll die right into battle.
They're the embodiment of testosterone. They serve no purpose other than have sex all day, protect my chicks.
That's right.
That's like ancient dinosaur DNA.
Yep. Thank God I have a monogamous rooster.
There you go.
We pretty much do the same thing.
I didn't mean he was polygamous in the rooster sense. It was the noble rooster rushing into battle, willing to die for his women.
You know? Yeah. I wanted to point out, so you mentioned before we went on, that bears hate loud noises.
Yeah.
So bear spray is one thing, but hitting them with like an air siren.
Okay, when you hike, you gotta like be loud. So my husband will hike and stuff, and if it's not hibernation time, because we have grizzlies all over, we're just like, hey bear! Hey bear! And then we're like, by the way, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll slap and be like, whoop! Because they don't like it. So when they hear you coming, but a lot of people make the mistake, they're like, it's so peaceful. Everyone be quiet. And then you come around a corner and there's a sow and her cubs.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Good luck.
I was just riding bikes with my girlfriend through down the Appalachian Trail and it was like getting dark. And I was like, this is going to be awesome.
It's deer o'clock. Did they all jump in front of your bike and try to kill themselves?
No, but they were like on the road and like they weren't having any of us. But so we rode a few miles, we're riding back, and now it's almost pitch black. And it was awesome because you can't see anything. And then Allison's chain popped off her bike.
And
so we had to stop.
That's like Jurassic
Park. And then I'm standing there and it's really quiet. And we're like, I'm lifting the bike up and just trying to get it on. And we hear like... And I'm like, there's something out there. Like, you can hear something running
through. Stephen King's The Mist. There's something in The Mist.
I'm like, hurry up. I don't want to stand here in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night. And like, we jumped back under. It was awesome, though. It was so exciting. Like, there were probably 1,000 weird, creepy noises. And all, like, I had no idea what it was. But there was something big, like, running through around us. And I'm like,
something's wounded.
That's cool. I like, in the middle of the night, I get to hear the wolf packs howling. And it's the most beautiful sound. Oh, so great. They actually got my husband's buck last hunting season. He was so mad.
Oh, whoa.
He was on the hunt for a buck, and he heard the wolves, and he's like, oh, wolves. And then he came up, and there was its rack and this decimated buck, and he's like, oh.
So had he already killed the buck?
No, he had his eye on it. So he was out, like, tracking, trying to get it, and he did, but a little too late.
Do you have, like, positive interactions with wolves?
One came out. We were going to Bowman Lake, which is in Glacier National Park, like in the boonies. And a black wolf walked in front of the car, and your brain's like, oh, it's a dog. It's not a dog. It was a black wolf, gold eyes. It looked us dead in the eye, and it took a dump right there, and I'm like, he's really comfortable with us. Like, it's very rare to see a wolf. And I have pictures of him just pinching a loaf right in front of me. I was like, what is this guy doing? It was really magical.
Especially
magical. Since my husband and I, all we do is talk about poop. So I'm like, of course they came. They came to bring us entertainment.
It's basically how dogs came to be. You know, the wolves eventually were like, you know what? I can poop in front of that guy.
Totally.
And the guy was like, yo, check out this wolf.
And then when you poop, like, your cats and your dogs are like, what you doing in there, guys?
Yeah.
Can I get in on this?
Standing and you're like, what are you doing? It's my door. Let's keep going on the conversation we were having about the Olympics and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we have this story that I want to talk about. We mentioned it. The CEO of Nike says Nike is a brand that is of China and for China. I mean, that makes sense. Weren't they using, like, slave labor in Southeast Asia or sweatshops or something?
Yeah, notoriously.
So, basically, there's a boycott. They say Nike CEO John Donahoe defended the company's business in China this week, saying that Nike is a brand of China for China following a consumer boycott in the country.
Darn.
He made the remark during a call with Wall Street analysts on the company's fourth quarter earnings when asked about competition from Chinese companies. Nike drew backlash in China in March after it issued a statement expressing concern over reports of forced labor in the Xinjiang region. Other Western companies also expressed concerns about forced labor of minority Uyghurs in cotton production. Quote, Nike does not source products from Xinjiang, and we have confirmed with our contract suppliers that they are not using textiles or spun yarn from the region, Nike said in a statement at the time. They reported a strong fourth quarter. Congratulations, whatever, blah, 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 on their profits. Think about how great their first, you know, half of this was. We do not source materials from slaves in the Xinjiang region.
I, for one, trust them completely.
Me too.
Yeah, if they're getting their sources about where they're getting their stuff from.
Multinational corporations have our best interest in heart, especially those who deal with communists and employing children.
Yep. Do you vote Democrat?
Not employing. Pardon me?
Do you vote Democrat?
Oh, I love Joe Biden and everything my former party represents. No, I did not.
Yeah, this former party, right?
Yeah. It's lifelong Democrat. Same. Healing over here.
Isn't it weird though? There's a lot of people now who are even becoming conservative, having, because they've lost, like, the Democratic Party's gone so insane that, I mean, it's things like this, to be completely honest. Since when were the Democrats the party of big business and, you know, industrialists or whatever? But it certainly became that, especially
since the 90s.
LBJ?
Yeah, I guess that's fair to say.
Since the 90s, they were smart. I mean, they had taken over all the art. And the joke was always, you know, we need the art-filled Democrats with all their ideas and dreams. And then you need the conservatives with their ability to make cash to help, you know, those liberals reach their ideas and dreams and make profit. And then I think the Democrats were like, why don't we just take over everything that they have, just everything completely, and then we can push what we want and no one can stop us.
I do think there was a big shift in 2015. You know, we bring it up a lot. Bernie Sanders saying no to open borders, and now the Democratic Party basically just adopted all of these neoconservative and neoliberal policies. So now they're basically in defense of these big, massive multinational corporations.
Yeah. Like, I'm old. I'm 38. I'll be 39. That's not what Democrats were. Rage Against the Machine, which is now Rage for the Machine. All of this was against everything that the Democratic Party is for now, and it's mind-boggling to me. I just don't understand. Like, all my friends are like, well, how could you vote for Trump? I'm like, 2008 stock market crash, I lost everything I earned in Hollywood and all my investments, gone. And then my home was worthless and I couldn't even sell it, and people were like, you know what, we'll just take the note. I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, you just sign the house over to them and they pick up the payments so you don't file bankruptcy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That happened to you?
Yes. So when people are like, but Joe Biden and Orange Man bad, I'm like, Joe Biden ruined my life. Like, my life was ruined. So I just couldn't understand, especially all the Bernie people. I'm like, Bernie got robbed again and you guys are okay with it?
But let's be
real.
He
was okay with it.
I understand that Joe Biden ruined your life, but yeah. Trump
had... But Orange Man bad.
Yeah, he had bad tweets. Come on.
Batman Orange.
Spray tan.
I remember when Trump... Look. Okay, Joe Biden may have been, you know, well, to be fair, Bush was president for a while, and then, you know, Obama gets in. But Donald Trump said Kung Flu. You know what I mean? Like, I would absolutely welcome, like Bill Maher said, a complete economic recession, you know, that results in people losing their lives if it means no more Trump. That's what Bill Maher said, right?
I watch him sometimes because I'm not a bigot. and I can listen to other people. That's right. I agree with half of what he says, and the other half I think he's egotistically insane. But we were both celebrity advisors once on the Marijuana Policy Project, so I do respect some of the work he did for marijuana reform, but my God, has that man sometimes lost his mind, but usually with just Trump. But yeah, no, I did not vote for Trump, and I lost half the people. I did vote for Trump, and I lost half the people in my life doing so. Hi, guys. Also, hi, Michael Malice. You're the reason I'm here. Here's your shout out. I'm here Michael. Because of you. That's the only reason I'm here.
He has too much influence over us.
Dear writer himself.
Taking over.
I left my mountain abode because he's like, you should do it.
So we had some guys over this weekend who were rollerbladers, and we have these really funny things where it's like they're rollerblades, but they have bike wheels instead. So it's like they go on the left of your legs.
Wait a minute. Is this like the Return of Oz?
Yes.
Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know.
Shut up.
I don't know. I just said yes. Oh, I was thinking Willy Wonka.
I'm so old. No, you guys don't know what Return of Oz is.
But
it's so
it was
good.
Like a flop, this is, right?
Take some acid and watch Return of Oz and tell me it's
gosh.
Let's go.
Let's go.
The first ever trick done on these weird things, this guy Andy, he named it a Michael Malice grind. So he actually jumped up and did a grind, and then he called it the Michael Malice grind. And I sent it to Michael, and he was laughing, like, how is this real life? This is amazing. Life is so fun. He's such an upbeat guy. He's very optimistic.
He's like the most cheerful anarchist ever. He's just, I'm not into anarchy completely. I understand and respect it because I'm not a bigot, but yeah, he's
speaking,
a good kid.
Speaking of bigots, you know, to go back to Bill Maher.
Yeah.
I think what you were saying, like, half the things he says are like nuts. Him and Sam Harris. Sam Harris actually tweeted something about this. I was like, he was tweeting a bunch of people. I was responding to him, where it seems like what he was saying was, and I could be getting this wrong, so forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, but my understanding was that he understands everything's worse under Joe Biden, but at least now without Trump, the path is clear for him to start speaking with liberals or something like that. Like, well, now that Trump's gone, we can actually start talking to these people and talking them down or something. And it's like, wait. Like, everything's worse. What's the point of talking to
liberals
them?
Don't understand yet that progressives are not with you. They hate you and want you to die, and your party is gone. It's gone. Because I considered myself liberal, right-leaning, you know, but that doesn't exist anymore. It is only the far left and a whole bunch of old boomers that don't understand yet that their party is dead.
I think they just want power. So to Bill Maher, like, come on. You see this guy complain about cancel culture. You see him talk about the SJWs. He has Milo on his show. He has Brett Weinz on his show. But he also, and this is my assumption of his character based on what he says, knows that if he actually said Trump's not that bad, he'd be figuratively strung up.
Ego and money. He will never admit that he's wrong. It'll never happen. A powerful man who's been in a powerful position for a long time will never admit they're wrong. Not even Trump!
Yeah.
They don't do it. So, yeah, he's not going to do it. But I do appreciate when he's trying to rattle some lefties awake. Like, I'll give him that. Like, I don't agree with everything, but thank you, Bill.
I can't say that. You know, look, maybe he actually just has always had Trump derangement syndrome. Yeah. And I know a lot of people are probably like, who cares about Trump? He's not in the, you know, Trump's going to run again. And they're ramping up the tax against him already because they know he's, regardless of whether or not he runs, maybe it's DeSantis, he's got influence. So these attacks are popping up like
crazy.
You
want to be punk? You want to rage against the machine? Vote orange. So that's what I say.
You think that Sam Harris and like others, maybe like Bill Maher, think that with Trump out of office, it's a more dangerous path that we walk now with Biden as president, but it's more unified so that there's more of a chance to succeed?
I think it's
succeed.
That they genuinely didn't like Trump, but they knew Biden and the establishment were really, really bad. But Trump created a barrier of hysteria where they couldn't actually communicate with these people. So now with Trump out of the way, now they can reach out and say, okay, now come over here.
Did you say barrier of hysteria?
Barrier.
There's a barrier of hysteria.
A barrier of hysteria. The media went nuts. I mean, literally, Trump's like sitting there and the journalists are like twitching with their pens on their notepads. And then Trump raises his hand and they go,
and then
he puts it back down.
Trust the media. I did. I tapped out after Trump won because I'm like, I don't like him, but I'm not a psychopath. I'm not going to like Orange Man battle. That's when I noticed all my friends and family collectively lose their minds, where every tweet, every post was orange, orange, orange. And I was like, wow, man, you're like rotting. Your brains are rotting. It's psychological warfare is what's happening with this. And I don't blame these people for having this sickness, because more powerful people who are more gifted in, like, bending the human mind have God at them.
This is the crazy thing. I have friends and family members, and I'm like, wondering, how did they get to this point where they used to be either completely apolitical or rage against the machine, and now they're 100% on board with raging for the machine, and they love CNN. Like, I don't understand how that happened at all.
It's brilliant. I really wish we could adopt their strategies for us so we could make tons of money and live in the Hamptons and then warn everyone about global warming as we keep buying beachfront property.
Smart, right?
I want what they're having. Because I think they realize most people are stupid, and they took advantage of it, and they are laughing to the bank, and people don't even realize it.
It seems like there's like a group, a type of person or a type of mentality that's like stuck in the matrix and doesn't want to leave. Like, if you tell them, look, Monsanto is fill in the blank. The military industrial, this is real. They're like, my life is too good. I don't want to mess it up. Let me just live out my days. And that's a lot of people.
There's a lot of cowards. That we are surrounded by cowards anymore.
You know, I often say things that trigger even people who watch even my own content. But I think most of the resilient people are the ones who end up sticking around and watching. Sometimes people come in, they don't like what I have to say, but...
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Tim. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/TIM.
I can't do anything about it. I'll put it this way, though. I tweeted about people needing to stand up for themselves, speak out, and a lot of people said they were scared of losing their jobs. They said Tim Pool doesn't have kids, so he doesn't understand. I've long said I don't have kids, and I certainly respect those who are you know, worried that they could put their families at risk. But I also look at all of these leftists who are willing to sacrifice their jobs and scream at the top of their lungs. Now, you know, you had this teacher who wore a Black Lives Matter mask, and they threatened to fire her, and she said, I refuse to back down, and she lost her job. You had a guy at Taco Bell, same thing. There's a bunch of stories like this where they're like, I'm going to wear my political message even though it's against the rules and you can't do anything about it.
But it's society is accepting of it.
You know why, though? Because squeaky wheel gets the grease.
True.
Most people don't like wokeness. If most people just said... okay, fine, whatever, I'll speak up, then it would be the exact same for the right as it is the left.
You know, I was never political until in 2020 when I was like, that's it, I have to say something because people are continuously not saying anything. I am not PC. I am not, like, worried about your feelings. Frankly, I don't care. Like, get a pair of balls, put your big boy pants on, and let's go to town. I had all brothers. Like, everyone acts like a woman on her period without a chocolate bar, and it's making me insane.
I'll tell you why.
I don't know if you're allowed to. YouTube's going to be like, that's,
I'm a woman. Like,
but she was right.
And if I don't have a chocolate bar, I act exactly like these people
it's
do.
True.
Ask my husband. He will open the door, throw a chocolate bar at me, and slam it and run away.
I think the problem is there is some validity to the rage, and that is that we kind of do live in a patriarchy. I've been thinking a lot about this. Our Father who art in heaven, it's like the whole Christian religion is based off my heavenly Father. Like, there's a guy,
the divine masculine,
a man. Why isn't a woman?
Because we are the divine feminine. You guys don't function without us. Men are the warriors. Men are our strength, and women are the empathy and compassion and the caregiving. We have our roles, and our roles are equally as awesome. And I don't see it as a patriarchy. I see it as you're willing to go out there and slaughter animals and hang it off my balcony and skin it and feed me. Then you know what? You deserve some respect. And so do I, because I am the life giver, even though I kind of got cheated out of that one. But I am the life giver. So I don't know. I see us as very equal. And if you look through our history, there's a lot of celebration of women. I think we just choose not to see it so we could be mad.
And Ian, you need to understand, right. women have always been the primary victims of war. Says Hillary Clinton. Jeez. Women lose their husbands, their fathers, their sons in combat.
So heartbreaking.
That's an actual quote from Hillary Clinton.
Oh, that's circuitous.
Let me read you this quote from
Benghazi?
Hillary Clinton.
Wait, Benghazi?
Hillary Clinton said, women have always been the primary victims of war. Women lose their husbands, their fathers, their sons in combat. Now, this was considered to be pretty funny by a lot of people because it's like, dude, those people died, like, defending you. You're not the victim. Like, those people who died are the victims. But I'll put it this way. First of all, Snopes says the ratings is true. She actually said it. Patriarchy. So while the men go off and die and the women are victims because the men sacrifice themselves to save the women, the men were the ones. It was the patriarchy. I just think that patriarchy is this idea used to generate support for some kind of movement that gives someone power. It's that simple.
It's like the idea that men are secretly dominating society. Like, it's specifically men and not women. Like, men are trying to control the women. And I do see that. Like,
really? Where were the complaints from the women on the Titanic when they were the only ones allowed to board the life ships? And all of you guys with your male privilege were sent into the icy waves to die. I didn't hear anything about patriarchy. Women were the divine. We were protected by our men. There's a reason, because men are savages, so we find good men to protect us from the savage men. And I think this utopia people have in their brain that people are good and are going to protect you is stupid. And it's unattainable. It's never going to happen except the yin and the yang. There's a lot of evil, and we have the divine masculine to protect us from that.
Ian, think about the noble rooster.
Oh, yes. Yes, the cockerel, the mighty cockerel. Indeed.
The rooster will run into a predator that it knows will kill it. It yells out a warning to the chickens, who run and hide, and then it runs full speed to the predator, knowing it's going to die, to save their lives.
Yeah, those chickens got a matriarchy going on.
But hold on. Do you know what happens if there's no rooster and the chickens are out doing their thing? They just get run up and mauled by the predators. So we actually had to deal with this. I know I'm making a kind of a joke about chickens, but we were you know, talking to farmers and people who are chicken experts about just opening up the coop for the chickens to come out and do their thing. And they were like, yeah, as long as you have a rooster. I was like, oh, well, we actually didn't realize we had one at the time, but we didn't have a full grown rooster. You need the rooster.
Who defended the villages?
Exactly.
The women were the warriors. When their men were out fighting to protect the divine feminine and the children, if anyone came to that village, you know, F around and find out, that is what happened. Like, try that woman.
At some point, what it seems like some men or some people decided, let's build a system where men are in control so that if stuff hits the fan, we can protect the women.
No.
So, like, they still want to.
We let you think you're in control. Women are the most highly manipulative creatures on this earth. The fact that you guys walk around thinking you've oppressed us, as all we've done is legit chess pieces with you simpletons. I mean, we love you.
She's right.
But it's the God is a man thing that drives me nuts. God's
part
not
of
a
their trick, Ian. Wake up.
That's all we do.
Think, Ian. Think.
Letting me think God is
majority
a man.
Majority of college students are female right now, and they're saying they're the ones who are oppressed. They're the ones who have the college degrees and are starting to make more money. If you look at the gender wage gap, it's not even real, and yet men are just like, okay, and they're trying to pass laws that keep empowering women.
Yeah, it goes back. It goes deeper than American.
Every king had a really, really smart, manipulative wife.
Or like six of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Four.
And you are going to be kicked out of the club because you've just exposed their secrets.
How yeah.
The secrets
you.
Of
I
the sisterhood.
I don't care. None of you are my friends. You guys are evil and vindictive and manipulative, and that's why I don't hardly have any friends. It was very hard to find some that didn't do it back.
It's true. Girls aren't nice.
We're vicious.
We are not nice, and I have long said that women are the neck that turns the head. This is 100%
Remember
true.
In ancient Rome where he's like, yes. We will murder you all if you gossip, and they're like, ha ha, we will continue.
No, I haven't heard that story.
Yeah, they're like, we will continue to just, I have friends that catfished married couples, men, just to make them divorce and took joy in it. Wow. And they didn't even know. And then tell me later. And I'm like, girl, you are messed up. We're mean.
And well, look at this Ian guy. He's all like, we are actually in charge.
I'm sorry. I'm just concerned with the system. Like, there are individual bouts of craziness on all sides. But saying that God is a man is crazy to me. I was about to let loose some
God
profanity.
Made Adam and was like, oh, man, what a mistake. I can do
Yeah, God
better.
Made Adam first, and then a woman came out of Adam. It's like all man-dominated. No. And it was written by dudes in a...
He said, I can do better, so he made better.
Well, this is what, the book says.
Think about political power. Would you rather be the face sitting beneath the sword of Damocles? Everyone knows who you are, knows who to come after, or the shadow power behind it, the financiers.
Right. I like the shadow power. I like the strategist.
So look, women don't want that position. We don't want to sit there. Men are the ones, the proud peacocking. Look at my feathers. I'm so great. And women are like, I'm in the shadows plotting your demise, and you don't even know it.
It's actually making
But let's, like, to be honest, to be real, I wouldn't say they're planning the demise. Obviously, it's a joke, but they are planning their comfort, saying, you know, he's gonna for the longest time. You have this system where some women felt it was oppressive, and in some ways, it was. There was social enforcement, like women typically didn't have jobs, so it was hard for those who did. But they also didn't have to go to, I don't know, petroleum rigs and lose their arms or go wait around in sewers pulling rat kings from.
That's
pipes.
Why they didn't want to vote. They're like, we don't want in that. Crap, like there's a whole bunch of women that are like, we don't want part of this garbage that these idiots are in.
You used to have to be in some places in order to vote. You had to be signed up for the fire brigade, things like that. And so if you ask modern leftists, they'll tell you, oh, that was all propaganda to take away women's rights to vote and everything, so they wouldn't get it. But they're actually women who are like, you mean I have to sign up for the fire brigade? I don't want to do that. Let them take care of it. It used to be that service guaranteed citizenship to a certain degree, right? If you wanted the right to vote, there was some responsibility expected in your contribution to the community. And just, it started to erode. It used to be that voting came with responsibilities, and they eventually said universal suffrage. You know, you just vote. Everybody votes. Now, that's been exploited to a great degree. And my opinion's actually been shifting on it a bit, especially after I saw John Stewart. And this is an old article where he said that John Stewart said we should bring back the draft. In some form, because people have lost their sense of community. He wasn't saying like military draft. He was effectively saying service guarantee citizenship. Do something for your community to prove you care about it. And then, you know, he didn't tie it to voting.
I still love John because he's not annoying. He went away and he was like, I'm not going to be like every other celebrity on Twitter. Look at how annoying I am. I'm all annoying. Like, shut up.
I love that guy.
Be funny. Back of the $20 bill, man. Just be funny. And that's what he is. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. But yeah, women aren't victims. And when you don't think of yourself as a victim, it's just not there. I don't see it because I'm no one's victim. I go into rooms and I command them. Like, I'm not like, oh, I'm not in charge here. There's a man. Like, I've never felt that way. And once a chick feels that way,
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's why the CRT stuff bothers me.
Yeah.
I don't think that people are victims, but it does seem like the system was set up by men to empower, give men like a foothold with the whole God is a man.
Men were strong.
The Venetian patriarchy was like all about the old or the wealthiest man would control the family's money and run the city. And
so when you put a man at the top of the hierarchy, who does he have behind him? Who is he supporting? Who is he pulling up with him? He's pulling up his family.
Dude, my man goes out and hacks down trees and drags 300-pound logs across a field, and if I commanded him to do something for me and it was reasonable, he would do it.
100%.
And I love it. We're equal, but I know that, like, he would die for me. This, like, powerhouse would put himself first. Like, I feel great over here. I'm a queen.
And who did they kill in the French Revolution?
Well, the king and the queen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So gender doesn't.
No, look. I certainly think it's obvious that sexism has existed for a long time, and certainly there's been institutional misogyny in many ways, and we've overcome those things. But to act like women were powerless.
Look at Cleopatra. She floated Egypt longer than it should have been floated with the power between her legs. She was like, wait a minute, I can manipulate all these bros.
Julius Caesar,
I think. Mark Antony. Like, she was going for it, and Egypt would have fallen years before, but she was cunning and she was smart. And they say she wasn't even that hot. She just knew what to do. Yeah.
She killed her sister, I think. Her sister was trying to kill her, so she had her killed or something.
She was a direct descendant of Alexander the Great's first in command. And they inbred the whole time. So I'm sure something was going crazy because all kept it in the family. So they were like Greek. That's why when everyone's like, Cleopatra was this color, I'm like, Cleopatra was Greek. Okay? Let's just be real.
Am I wrong that we live in like a patriarchal...
Yes.
Christianity is like patriarchal?
You have been brainwashed a bunch of weak idiots that want me to be a victim.
But
am I right?
Is it true that Christianity is patriarchal?
I don't see it.
Or the Catholicism is patriarchal.
I think the answer to that is yes.
Okay, look. Eve went and she did what she wanted. She was like, I'm going to do what I want. And then the dude suffered for it, just like my husband does every day when I make decisions. Right? So I don't find it like the patriarch. I don't know. I just look at the world differently. And once you do, like, you just don't feel it. I think it used to be a little sucky. But, like, I walk around every single day, like, armed and... I feel good. The great equalizer on me. I'm just like, whatever. I'm powerful.
It sounds like you're saying that men sort of planned this. Like,
yeah.
I just don't see that. I think when you look at, we talked about this in a bunch of our dating segments. If you have 100 men and one woman, your civilization is in serious danger.
Yeah.
If you have 100 women and one man, your civilization will probably thrive because you can have a lot more kids. That natural component of human existence means there's always going to be a bias in favor of protecting women as more valuable, just like the rooster sacrificing himself. If you have 100 men and 100 women, you can lose 99 men in battle, and your tribe, your village, your town will survive. Not so much the other way around. That's why in like there was raping and pillaging. It meant to steal, but they would take the women because the women were the most important thing. So you look at that from an evolutionary perspective or a sociological perspective, and over time, you're going to see more and more institutions rise up solely to protect women. I can certainly imagine at a certain point it became overbearing, and especially as we've become safer and safer, we have secured the borders of this country, or at least we did a while ago, to the point where it's way safer now. You don't got to worry about bandidos coming in and Viking raiders storming the beaches and stealing your women. So now we don't need a lot of those protections. But to act like women were powerless when they were the ones that were basically the reason for the protections.
Can we make this nerdy? Game of Thrones. Cersei Lannister in season 1 or 2 cowered in the Red Keep as all the men fought. And she was scared. Oh my God, Stannis is going to come kill me. That diabolical scheming broad near the end, you knew who was in power. She killed her husband. She did all this horrible crap to everyone.
Her
brother had bastard children. Everything wrong that happened in King's Landing was because of her. And then she sat on the Iron Throne like, yep, I did it. So who was in power, Ian? Who was it?
She's in Game of Thrones.
It was Cersei.
Cersei 100%. Was running the show.
Until those stones smashed her head in.
I mean, it was her dad.
Until season 8 destroyed all her life.
Right?
You see, George R.R. Martin was like, I should have kept ahead of the show.
Yeah, no, I was hoping there was a troll. Every moment I'm like, he's just going to come out. It's just a big troll. Like me and Chad, it's just a troll. It's all a lie. I'm blackpilled. There was never any books. He ran out of ideas.
They got to retcon it.
Yeah.
They can do that. Just rewrite season 5, 6, and 7.
Well, it's like there's a show called Full Metal Alchemist. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it.
I've heard of it, but not.
It's an anime. So the way they do anime is like someone will write the comic version, and then they'll start animating. You know, a month. So like they're on chapter 10, they're making episode 1 of the show, and so the comic is always ahead of the show. In this instance, the comic stopped and the show kept going. And then they later came back and redid a new branch of the show with the new storyline. So if they decide to redo seasons 7 and 8 with like the new fixed writing,
we'll have CGI like when they make like old or young Kurt Russell and.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of 5-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347.
Not Avengers.
Snake Plissken.
Ant-Man?
Not Ant-Man. The really cool ones. The with stupid
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes!
Yes!
I always forget that. I have like a little hate in my heart. I'll tell you guys off camera.
Who's who played the guy in Ant-Man? The old guy?
I didn't see it.
I can't remember his
name.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, wasn't he the one that got throat cancer from Cunnilingus?
Oh, what?
Wasn't he married to Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Oh, that's Michael Douglas.
Yes, is that him? They de-aged him in Ant-Man.
Oh, wow.
He's like a young version, and in The Avengers. There's like a really, like a 20-year-old version.
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty good, so they could do that for Game of Thrones. Problem fixed, we're good.
Just give me like a stick figure animation explaining the fixed version of it, I'm satisfied. Yeah. Like, here's the quick synopsis. We fixed the storyline. I'm sure fans
John
have done
Snow
it.
Can say something besides, I don't want it, she's my queen.
Dude, they should have brought Ned Stark back. I mean, come on, guys. Use magic. Use
the
Red Queen. Bring him back. He's reunite the Starks. That would have been the best.
When they stole Dany's dragons in the Houses of the Undying, she had visions of him without his head and Robb Stark with a wolf on his head, and they didn't show it. And I was like, damn, that would have been real cool. Anyway, I'm sorry. I took us way off. Patriarch.
Good show.
Well, we were actually talking about, like, at some point, the media, and so I pulled up this tweet from Glenn Greenwald. I have no idea when I was planning on segueing to this, but we went to Game of Thrones.
Would have been real smooth.
So anyway, let's like just rewind and then segue to this tweet from Glenn Greenwald.
Smoothly, yes.
So Glenn's great. He tweeted, however shockingly tiny and minuscule you think MSNBC and CNN's audience size is, it's way smaller than even that. MSNBC barely has an audience on the weekends. I'm concerned their ratings are going to fall into negatives, which shouldn't be possible. I just love the absolute snark from Glenn.
So
how many viewers do you think MSNBC gets at 8 p.m. on Sunday? Like, how many viewers do you think?
Okay.
Primetime
it's
show.
It's not good. I'm going to go into a couple hundred
six
thousand.
Million.
Six million?
Is that too many?
Wow.
That's so generous.
I'm from the 90s.
Check this out. Fox News, total viewers is 1.2 million Sunday at 8 p.m. Life, Liberty, and Levin. 124,000 viewers between the ages of 25 and 54. That means most of their viewers, like 1.1 million, are over the age of 54. CNN gets 473,000 viewers above the age of 55 and older, and only 78,000, 25 to 54. And MSNBC gets 49,000 people in the key demo. Whoa. You know what's crazy is we don't even do a show that day, and our clips do better than on
my
their own.
Crappy reality TV shows destroyed these people. And that was back in the day. Wow. Wow, how pathetic. Why did they, like, have so much power? Who was propping them up?
Council
Who's the puppet
relations?
Master?
I'm trying to figure it
I'm
out.
I'm feeling pretty good.
No. You should also feel pretty scared.
Scared?
They're going to come for you.
No, it's like, what was I was, it's like they're a withered and drying, you know,
lich.
Husk. Yeah, lich, like, hey, I'm going to destroy you. And I'm
just like Dark Crystal. Like
yeah,
the
they're
Skeksis must suck out life force. It's like, yeah. Do you watch Dark Crystal? Ages ago.
No. Yeah, when I was like six. But,
so
was
old.
Crazy.
But I saw Lord of the Rings, so they're like Smeagol.
Yes.
And the Precious is their ring, and we got it. We have the views. It's more decentralized. You know, there's a bunch of different channels that get tons of views. But what it's amazing? Key demographic. This is the main issue, right? So almost all of the viewers for Fox, MSNBC, and CNN are 55 and older. No disrespect to them, But what do you think that means in 10, 20 years?
Yeah.
They're done. It's over.
Well, that's why all the big tech is trying so hard, because they know that they've brainwashed all these children and that TikTok is where they get their news. We're so pathetic.
We're on TikTok.
Yep.
I am not on TikTok.
We got clips going up on TikTok.
Really?
Yeah, so I thought
that's commie China stuff. What are you doing?
Fighting back on the battlefield, I guess. So we put up clips everywhere. And
I don't blame you.
If we can put clips up from this show on platforms like TikTok, good. Then the younger people who are there, I actually think it's mostly older people, to be completely honest. Maybe not completely, but there's a lot of older people on it.
Are there filters?
I don't know.
Oh, like those beauty filters? That's where all old chicks like me were like, oh, hey, I'm 22 again.
We should put a clip up with beauty filters one day.
Yeah, dude.
Just Ian as like a 17-year-old Korean. I was thinking about this. You know, a lot of people have been like, Tim, why won't you quit YouTube? Because they're censoring people. And I'm like, it's a massive battlefield. Why would we give up ground that we didn't lose yet, you know?
Dude, sure. People ask me all the time while I'm still on Facebook, because I say things and they're like, how are you still here? I'm like, don't know, for one. And for two, I like built this crap. I don't want to lose it. You build something, you don't want to just bounce right it into the ground, darling.
Yeah. I mean, we're setting up the website.
Yeah.
Hiring people to do news. Fully expecting YouTube will eventually give us the boot. Yeah, but until then, let's leverage as much as we can from these networks and keep pushing back. Otherwise, just like walking away is...
Come on, YouTube. It's Timcast. They're good folks. Like, 100%. Keep around.
I actually think it's bigger than that. I think that we need to make conservatism and these good right-wing ideas cool. And that means putting them on platforms like TikTok.
They are cool. That's why all the punk rockers and weirdos like us are like on the side now. We are the cool ones.
Did you see Bad Religion do that like weird pro alt-right song?
No, no. Every time people forward me these cringy songs, they're like, you're going to love it. I'm like, yeah, no, I have a life. And then I don't watch it. If there's a cat, it's on. Mm. Or a chicken, watching it.
Check it out. Like the reason the ratings are in the gutter for MSNBC, worse than CNN, is that they excised their legitimate audience for Orange Man Bad. They were so desperate to get ratings that they were like, let's keep saying Trump sucks. Well, let's say, you know, a few years ago, they had 100,000 key demo viewers and 75,000 are rational, moderate people like us. They went so insane, they lost all of them, but they gained 500,000 to 1 million Trump derangement syndrome people. Now that Trump is gone, their whole brand was, we're the anti-Trump. There's no one left to watch with no Trump. These punk rockers, it's the same thing. For decades, you have some bands who have built themselves up like, we are the anti-establishment, the war machine is bad, yeah. And then all of a sudden they find themselves on the winning side. They find themselves saying the same things as Walmart.com. And they're like, if we come out and say they're wrong, our audience that we've built will hate us.
You know what? I was kind of scared when I started saying things. And you know what I got? Every libertarian and conservative person just came and bought Avon from me. And I'm like, what is going on?
Like dudes?
Dudes. We have bug guards. So everyone's buying SPF and this and that. And I'm like, this is amazing. So yeah, I got canceled by the left. And my fellow, I guess, patriots are very supportive. I'm sure you guys are finding that out. It was the exact opposite of what I thought was going to happen. And then they can't fire me because I'm independent. And all they want to do is fire me.
So we went to a skate park. Somebody super chatted us. And they were like, Tim, go to Wakefield Skate Park. It's like in the D.C. area. So we went there. And first of all, let me just say, like, wow, that it's falling apart. Like, the ramps are collapsing. And I'm like, some little kid's going to fall. Anyway, there was graffiti. And it said Black Lives Matter. Like, some young teenage kids skating at a skate park were like, I'm going to vandalize property with the corporate message from Amazon.com.
And Starbucks made me do it.
Yeah, right. It was like the weirdest thing. I was like, imagine you go to the skate park and like some kids, like he walks up to he's got spray paint. He's like, Walmart.com. And I'm like, okay, edgy. I guess.
Dude, like, we were all like, you know what would be cool? Let's spray paint Tool. Yeah, Tool kicks ass. You know, sorry.
People used
like that.
People used to like vandalize, like, to do damage. I mean, a lot of kids would like spray paint a name or something, but you typically would go to the skate park and they would write swear words and draw dicks and stuff like that.
You miss the days where people watched Beavis and Butthead and we had to worry about kids laying in oncoming traffic on the highway? That to me was way more peaceful and better than what's happening now.
Man, what happened?
I encourage the internet to come back.
The internet like displayed some the truth of what humanity is.
The mask has slipped. We're all sociopaths.
You know what? I was thinking about this. I'm like, I'm 35, man. I just don't understand these kids these days.
I know, right?
Like, there would never.
You're still young.
No, but like when I was 15, like I would go and be like that thing I saw on the TV about us holding hands. That's what I'm gonna spray paint. We were just spray painting dicks on the ground.
We weren't raised on our phones. I didn't have a cell phone until I was 21 years old, and I moved to New York City after I won Top Model. So I didn't have this, like, oh, it's my phone, and every moment on my phone. Like, it is pretty cool, but you could put it down.
I heard that babies are being born with their necks arced forward from people staring down at their phones. This could be...
They're getting spurs in their necks or something like that.
The babies, the new creation of human is being born different because of the way people stand, I've heard. Neck spurs, okay.
Unplugged.
Dude, it's the Borg. You know, the Borg from Star Trek.
That happens fast.
You always say Borg. I feel like it's a Zerg, like... Someone's Kerrigan, the puppet master.
There's a Borg queen.
It's like StarCraft, yeah.
No, the Borg has a queen who is hierarchically above all of the rest of the Borg.
Well, I respect Trek. I was never into
it. The Zerg have the overmind. It's also the...
But here's the general story of the Borg is that they were a regular humanoid race who started incorporating different medical technologies into themselves, cybernetics, until they linked their brains and then instantly became a hive. They could hear everything all at once and they worked in unison and all of their minds became one mission. And we got these kids, they're on these phones, and they're getting the corporate messages, and they're like, yes, yes, spray paint, corporate message.
Yeah.
Dude, you want to talk about being in the Matrix? If one agent sees you, and then everyone else knows that you're there, that's like the mind melt thing.
It's like, you know Luke, right? He's been on the show.
Yes.
We were in Germany together, and someone saw him in a photograph, like he was like walking a different direction from someone else, and so they accused him of being a Nazi.
What?
He's walking down the street, and then someone points at him and yells Nazi, and then random people get up, run up to him, start punching him and beating him and this other guy, Max. Like, this random German journalist, Max, who's like just a regular guy, these people just get up out of nowhere, and it's like you were saying, like the agents. One agent sees you, and then all of a sudden, the other people just like turn into agents and then start attacking you. That's like what it is.
Yeah. I wish they'd do that to pedophiles. The bad people never get punished.
Oh, right?
They're like, buy them Learjets and give them money. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then Luke's just hanging out, and they all...
And the anchor person on TV goes, that's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, okay.
You're like, hey, look at this story about this guy. And then they're like, you're a conspiracy theorist. That's not true.
I'm so tired of humanity. Mm-hmm. Can I be honest with you guys?
Yeah.
Everyone out there, I hate 95% of you. I'm Bilbo Baggins. On my property, I have the sign that says, we don't want any more visitors, well-wishers, or distant relations. Like, get away.
So this is Bilbo after returning from defeating
Smaug.
Where he's
like, I just want to see mountains again. I hate these people.
He was traumatized. I mean, Bilbo...
Because he's surrounded by simpletons. He's like, they haven't even seen the world, most Americans.
Yeah.
We've seen the world.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived and worked in South Africa. I almost died in Russia. I lived out of Italy and worked on a visa. Same thing in France. I mean, these people have all these big opinions on the world and America, and they haven't gone anywhere. I saw it once on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
I think people are losing their minds because of living in their phones.
Yes.
Because they don't have real world experiences. So we're doing a weird segue show today, but this one I'm greatly offended by.
I don't understand this.
Actually, I'm super not offended by this. There's a guy named Ali London who has come out as trans Korean, and he got surgery, I guess. I don't know if he got surgery, but his eyes, like... So I thought it was funny because this...
It's like the supermodel fox lift.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, all those... I don't want to be a jerk, but girl, we all know.
Ben Shapiro says, live your truth, Ali, and then people are making fun of him. So this guy, Ali London, says... This is my new official flag for being a non-binary person who identifies as Korean. Thank you for the overwhelming support. It was so hard for me to come out as them, they, core, Ian. This guy's trolling.
For
like,
sure.
He's saying his pronouns are core and Ian. So
I
like,
love him.
What?
I think he's great. That's like all these people that come to the Italian Christmas party at my ma's. And they're like, oh, lasagna. Hey, we're part of the family. And we're like, hey. And they are part of the family, only they're not.
Look at this. Look at this. This tweet he put up. He pinned it. My transition story and how I became Korean. You know what I find really funny about this? The reason why this one really, really, like, I first of all, I'm all for it. I think everybody should want to be Korean.
Of course.
You know, so I'm like, I'm sitting here like, all right. But it's just, I don't know if he's being honest. If it's a big prank, it probably is. But the idea that someone who's a white British guy wants so desperately to be Korean, and he's like, he does a video where he's like, Annyeonghaseyo, like,
oh my
like,
God.
I'm like, dude, I actually, my mom would make bulgogi when I was growing up. He wants to be Korean more than I do. I'm actually part Korean, and I don't even speak the language at all. And this is some white dude in London who, like, wants to be more Korean. It's an identity crisis. It's not real. And
people are mentally ill. We're all, like, this is a mental illness crisis that we've never seen anything like this before. It's like they've opened all the doors of, you know, insane asylums. It's like the Scarecrow in the Batman movie when he just released the drug on the people. That is what the phone's done.
TMC says British influencer identifies as Korean after 18 surgeries to look like BTS singer. I'm sorry, man. This is a guy.
He's committed.
I think there's a lot of people who like, there's transracial is like, it clearly has been a thing for a while with Rachel Dolezal and people like Sean King, mm-hmm. where they're just claiming to be a certain race when they're clearly not. And anyway, so you get people like this, and it's the weirdest thing to me because I'm like, I had a bunch of like white nationalist dudes tell me that I wouldn't understand the alt-right because I have no identity. They're like, Tim Pool is like mixed race, so he doesn't actually have an identity.
You mean you're an American mutt like most of us?
Yes. Like most people? Like how many people are like, I'm Irish? And it's like, well, you're also German and Italian.
Yeah, a whole
and,
bunch
you know.
Of stuff.
I'm Italian, Lebanese, Irish, and Scottish, but I was raised by a full Italian woman whose parents and family were all off the boat. And I feel Italian.
Because you were raised Italian.
But I ain't. I am an American mutt. And when we go to other countries, what are you? Oh, I'm Irish. They're like, you were born in Ireland. They're like, no. And they're like, God, Americans are stupid. Wow. You guys are so dumb.
Yep. Well, what do we say to this guy?
That guy's like, crazy and amazing all at the same time.
I'm for it because we might get in trouble for even talking about it, but I don't see the difference between this or any other identity. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just want to assert... I think it was Zuby who was saying that race is a social construct because if you said, he made a good point about this. I don't think it's fair to say completely, but he said if you told people that Obama was white, they would say you're nuts. If you said he was black, they would say, of course he is, even though he's the exact same amount of white as he is black, you know? Hmm. So probably to people in Africa, they look at Obama as probably more white because he's not, you know, not the same as them. He's mixed race. That's a really good point by Zuby. So you look at someone like this and he's like, okay, well, gender, like biological sex, hard physical differences between the biological sexes, but you could have somebody born in Korea who could probably pass for white or someone who's born in France who could pass for Korean. I've known a lot of people in my life who were just like regular white people and they were like French and they looked like they had some Asian in them. Like, no, completely white.
Oh yeah, my husband has like... I thought he had Native American, and it turns out he's full Viking. He went and got a DNA test, and I was like, wow. That totally makes sense, wow. You Nordic giant.
The Celts were all over the place. They came from, like, the north, northwest Europe, and they went to, like, East Asia. They went to, like, Anatolia and past Turkey. Yeah, they went down to Spain. Like, they were everywhere.
We're all humans, and colonizing is simply conquering, and that's what human beings do. We kick each other's asses, and we take each other's stuff. Mm-hmm. That is what war is. So when people are anti-war, I'm like, yeah, I'm anti-war. And when you don't gloat how you're taking all their stuff. So what, we've been in the Middle East forever? Congratulations, everyone. We took all their things. Just say it. That's why you're there. You know what I mean? But with this thing, remember the cat lady with all the surgeries and everyone made fun of her for years? Mm-mm. She was ahead of everyone. There's this like socialite
was, yeah.
that turned herself into a cat. She was the original. So
there was the trans cat, trans female cat. I'm genuinely trying to get this correct.
Is this for real?
There was an individual who was born male who got surgery to look like a tiger.
Okay.
And then came out as transgender as well. And then it's a sad story. Ultimately ended up committing suicide. Aww. So I think one of the issues is that people who have, in many respects, an identity crisis and they can never figure out who they are. I don't think that in many of these circumstances, like this guy, look at this photo right here from what's his name? London, Ali London or whatever. This face he's making where he's like doing his fists. It's a caricature of Korean people. Like, I don't think he's ever actually gone to Korea and met a Korean person because they don't act like these cartoon characters. Okay. There was a viral TikTok where a guy was talking to the camera and he was making these really creepy motions where he was like bouncing like this as he talked and doing like that, acting like a cartoon character from a Disney movie. Yeah. You know what I think it is? I think a lot of people, when they grow up and they're completely entrenched in seeing some kind of behavior, their brain adds that to like, this is what adults do. This is how they act. So when you get a guy who's doing these face things, he spends too much time watching fiction, like this caricature of Korean pop culture where it's not how people act. Nobody acts that way. Could you imagine if Americans were walking around like NSYNC and dancing and singing with each other all the time? It's not like real life.
Okay.
But they think it is. So now he's like, in order to be normal, I have to be that.
How old is he?
I don't know.
24, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Ian, this is our generation's fault. We failed the children. People our age had kids, and we told them all this bull crap. You could be anything, Johnny. You're a winner every moment, anything you dream. And this is the result.
We had a chance between 2006 and 2009 to set the record straight and get people to unify. But then we gave power to Obama and let him act like the new messiah. Everyone, it's almost like, you know,
ever see the speeches?
Blasphemy but, to speak out against the
to
guy.
To be fair, what do we do? McCain? It's like, it was awful.
Ceding
was
power
awful.
To a president was the problem. Because we
I
shouldn't
do
have done
that. Chick.
Sarah Palin?
Yeah, she was fun to watch.
It was like giving, we gave power to a president for the last time. Like, it was the last straw. You cannot give power to one guy to run this country. It's too much of a big of a job.
Well, I think Americans did come together and then they vilified everyone for doing it. In 2016, they all voted for Donald Trump. Except for me, I didn't do it. But my gay cousin did, and so did his partner. And you know what?
What about Trump in 2016?
2016, and in this last election, my gay cousin, hi, if you're watching, made a Gays for Trump sign, all rainbow and sparkly, put a floodlight on it in the south side of Chicago, and was like, bring the hate crime, baby, bring the hate crime. He was like watching out the window, like, I'm gonna get them. And I'm so proud of him, because he's all like, I reject LGBTQ community, it's been hijacked, I reject broken glass and all this stuff that they're telling me is okay and burning down buildings. And I'm like, my cousin is so based. I was very proud of him.
That's punk rock.
Yeah. Raised Mormon, gay as gay can be, and was gay for Trump. I'm like, I love you.
It feels like we had a chance in 2006 to 2009. Again, these years, for me, it was very, it was a growing period where we could have ended the war and we didn't. And now the young generation is like, oh, this is okay. Then I don't care about anything, because if that's okay, then this world has no meaning.
Trump wanted to end it.
Yeah, I was like, what was it, day two?
Yeah.
Get out of
that. That's what, one of the things that woke me up, and that's when I started digging. I was like, wait, he wanted to end the war that Obama lied to me about? And then I researched and found out it was all a lie.
You know, I think you're right about they see the war and they're like, you know, nothing matters. My view of it is, you grow up in a world where, like, you're literally born into a country at war and occupying the Middle East. And it's like, how do you argue morality? How do you, for all of us who experienced 9/11, there was a shock to our emotions. And so they made that case, and a lot of people bought into it. And a lot of people eventually said, we've had enough. This was wrong. It should never have happened. The AUMF needs to be, you know, officially rescinded. But for these people who were born into it, the United States has always been the country that just does what it wants, goes over there, and just kind of screws it up. So what happens is their moral compass is just like a corkscrew. It's not pointing in any one direction. It's just like, nothing matters. I can be anything. I'm a tiger Korean, and I'm, you know, the moon is made of
cheese. Throw bricks, burn building, like crazy things
that
people are doing.
Take what you want.
Doing.
Nothing
yeah.
matters, right?
Extract think wealth about, from the system.
But think about this.
Like they're doing over there.
The kids who grew up in a country, they were like a lot of these young kids who are now out with Antifa, they may have been, it's been almost 20 years since 9/11. So you have these kids who are like toddlers when it happened, with no memory, with no experience of it, being born into a world where they're told over and over again, the U.S. takes what it wants. So what do? They walk around with bricks, they smash windows, they take whatever they want. Who's going to tell them they're wrong?
It's because we told parents they couldn't punish their children anymore. I'm not for abusing children, but when I was bad, my parents and my old Italian grandma, she would take off her church shoe, get that hard heel, and be like, "Come up!" And I was like, "Oh, don't do that again." I learned a lot of lessons.
What's it called?
Chancla.
Chancla, that's right. Yeah, the flip-flop from grandma, and she
It was not a flip-flop. It was a hard church shoe.
The Mexican.
Like Catholic, Italian Catholic. She was not messing around. She's like, "Jesus saw. Ooh. He saw what you did." I'm like, okay.
We had a wooden spoon with a hole in the middle, so it'd leave the welt would grow where the hole was. But I didn't get it much. I was like the first generation where
Why didn't you get it much?
Just because I didn't speak up. I played within the lines. But also, it was like you were saying, we were part like the beginning of the generations of people that not hit your kids. Not that I don't advocate for hitting kids. I don't like it. I don't think you should. But like I was like, my brother would be like, "I'm calling child services," you know, that kind of like growing
up. I didn't
up.
Have that. My grandma was born in the 1920s. She was Rosie the Riveter. Her brother served in World War II and was in a concentration camp as a POW with like the tattoo, all of that. She was having none of that you're calling DCFS. That didn't exist in my house, and it was never to be said, and I lived.
Think about it this way. You get a kid who grows up and we're not talking about abusing kids. We're talking about a spanking.
Yeah, no. Abuse is horrible. But if I tell my mom she's the B word, and I did, and then my mom's like, "What? Bop," which I deserved. And then I sat there like, "Oh, maybe I should never call my mom a bitch again." And that's what I did.
I think there's a line. I think there's a lot of research that shows that corporal punishment, I guess they call it, is not particularly effective. But I have to question, what's the research going to show on when you have a bunch of kids who grew up without punishment at all? Mm-hmm. Or it was very much like, okay, honey, okay, I'll buy you ice cream if you calm down. What's going to happen to those people? They're older and they're communists and they're throwing bricks through windows.
True. Like when I went to school and we had problems with each other, we met behind the tennis courts and, I mean, bloodbath, fought it out. Like there was consequences to like things. People don't do that anymore.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arcseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
There's no, like, boxing matches anymore. I guess you just go into
dueling
your nearest city and brick out a building and light it on fire and loot your nearest Nike.
Could you imagine being back in the day and it's like, you know, someone's tweeting at you and then you're like, "Sir, I challenge you to a duel." And it's like, we're going to end this Twitter flame war once and for all.
And someone dies. How crazy
and
would
you
get,
like,
that
you have, like, experience and it goes up if you win the duel?
No, just pistols it done. Twitter beef be ended.
That's right.
"No, sir, I will not debate you. Pistols
at
dawn."
That's why I think everyone should be locked and loaded. We should all open carry every single American citizen. How many people will be like, "You know what? I'm going to carjack that car." No, because everyone in that car is locked and loaded. I truly believe that we've fallen off the map with what we should be doing.
This is the craziest thing to me. How many times I've seen, like, on Twitter, there's a dude who's trying to violently rob someone, like aggravated assault, and then someone comes out. Like, there's a video where it's like a guy draws a gun on someone, and then a woman pulls a gun from her purse and she shoots him. And I see people on the left being like, "She didn't have to kill him. You know, she could have done this." And it's like, that's the mentality that I think leads to ruin.
Yeah,
the
they idea love that criminals.
The criminals who are attacking and oppressing should not have been harmed in any way. And it's like, well, hold on. First of all, I wish it didn't happen. But if you walk up to someone and point a gun to their head and someone puts you down because of it, like, we're trying to stop that violence and we're acting in defense of others. But how many stories have we heard where it's like a dude's running from the cops and he pulls a gun? How about that guy was it Atlanta? He turns the taser and fires it at the cop. Oh, yeah. And so the cop fires in defense and they're like, arrest the cop.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah, that's I saw a post on Facebook. Some guy said Chauvin is finally being locked up and it's about time. Justice doesn't always happen, blah, blah, blah. And I responded with, don't forget about the chaos, the violence, and the destruction. If it wasn't for the terror and the violence, those jurors may have actually let Chauvin go. Never forget. It is better that 10 innocent people suffer than one guilty person escape. So saith Otto von Bismarck. Mm-hmm. And the person liked it. I was trying to make a point.
Like...
Oh, I was trying to make a point that, like, do you see yourself for who you are? It is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer. But the left today is absolutely adopted. They would love the innocent to suffer if it means one guilty person.
You're asking people to look in a mirror at their true, like, in the Neverending Story when Atreyu has to face his true self in the mirror gate and he looks and it drives some men mad. I've spent 20 years in therapy. I've been looking at my reflection for a long time. I think a lot of people should be doing this, and if they did, maybe our world wouldn't be so horrible. But no one does, because if we train everyone, just lie to yourself and say you're a good person. There's hardly any good people. Like, humanity, what we want to do every day, we want to be selfish. I cook delicious food, and there's a crispy piece of chicken, and my selfish brain goes, I want that. I don't want to give that to my husband. And then I have to override that selfish, worthless behavior and give him the good, crispy chicken. And I'm like, that shouldn't be so hard, but it's hard. I want the chicken.
You're a good person. Right?
Where my first thought is I want everything good for me.
You gotta define good. Good is subjective.
Because you think about it and you decide to share. The definition of courage is not being fearless.
Right.
It's overcoming your fear. So you look at these other people and they don't have that self-control. Of course, we're all selfish inside. What we're seeing with the latest iteration of this mainstream left is overt authoritarianism. Look at what happened in Minnesota. These people genuinely thought that it was better that all of the innocent people of the city suffer with bricks through windows and fires, with armed men escorting jurors in terror into the building so that one man would not escape. But we, as more libertarian types, take the opposite view. It is better that the guilty people escape to preserve the protection of the innocent.
We are Ned Stark, and Ned lost his head.
I think it was Ben Franklin who made a really important point, it might have been Jefferson, about why we must err on the side of defending liberty, and that means guilty people escape. Because if at some point the innocent person knows that they will not receive justice, the system can't sustain itself because the innocent stop participating.
Yep.
Yeah. You get mass noncompliance from people who fear, no matter what I do, you will attack me, I will defend myself.
That's why I don't like to travel. That's why this is the first time I've traveled. I don't trust even like a layover in a blue state. I don't feel comfortable. Right. I'm not comfortable. I'm not. And especially because the system is broken.
Especially now that the World Health Organization is saying we got to remask again.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They're like, oh, Delta variant. Now everyone's got to get your masks back on, even if you're vaccinated. No joke. The World Health Organization is saying even if you are fully vaxxed, it's time to wear masks. And it's time to socially distance again. And the craziest report I saw, and I really have to say this before I mention this news story. Don't take any of this as medical advice. Always talk to your doctor. And if you're unsatisfied, you can get a second opinion, but always get your advice from a medical professional, because the latest story is there are doctors advocating for booster shots with other vaccines.
Yeah.
So there are people who quite literally get the Johnson & Johnson and then go get two more shots from a different company. And that to me is insane. But they're actually now saying, apparently CNBC reporting, that it may be required that all these people get boosters. Now they've talked about boosters before, but now they're actually encouraging people to mix them up. I would not advise that. Talk to your doctor. That sounds really, really dangerous. We got the Delta variant. Everybody's freaking out. There's a variant this, a variant that, a country this, a country that. So here we go.
Think of it this way. They've convinced women that injecting botulism into their face is a good idea. And we celebrate it. And everyone's frozen like this. And everyone thinks it's this great thing, botulism in their face. And then they tell us to put silicone implants or saline, which I've done, into your body. I got rid of them because they're toxic and horrible. And they don't even tell you the ingredients in the sack of fluid. They refuse to tell you the ingredients.
In the
saline or silicone, they do not list the full That's ingredients. Crazy. They will not tell you. And then
Just do sand.
I had mystery illnesses for like 6 years. I got them out of my body. It turns out one was ruptured when every doctor told me it wasn't. So this mystery silicone ooze was, if you're wondering why I'm insane, it's probably because a mystery silicone ooze. So now the same people that like have convinced women mutilate your bodies. It's great. Oh, and then all this, I don't trust anyone. Everyone's a liar and everything's for money. That's what I feel.
We've heard over and over again about the variants. Now you've got more lockdowns underway. Australia is locking down again. How long until these blue states start locking down again?
Like 3 days. 3 effing days. Aren't you happy to not be part of this?
I'm 50-50 on it because I certainly think people have reached their wit's end.
Boiling point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if the blue states can muster up what they did last year.
Well, Montana's fine. We voted the guy that tackled the reporter. Like, we immediately were like, that's our guy.
Who?
Gioforte, I think is his name. He, like, tackled this media guy. He's like, you broke my glasses. Oh, my God. Montana's like, he's got grit, and put him right in. So I feel he does pretty much everything though. Florida does.
Think about what that means, like, what that means for where we are in terms of the culture war.
Yeah, it's that bad. I'm for peaceful divorce. It's time.
I don't think it's possible.
I think it's totally possible.
You think Oregon will give up their serfs in the East? The rural folk who are producing things and provide tax revenue to the cities?
I think they have to, unless they want ugliness. Like, let's all divorce. I got a divorce without a lawyer, and I took no money, and I let him keep all my crap because I was happier without him, and I walked away. And everyone was like, what? I'm like, nope. I hope it all holds you when you die. I hate you so much. And that's how we feel about each other. So let it go. Everyone walk their separate ways.
In Eastern Oregon, they voted to secede and join Idaho.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic.
The state's not going to allow it. The federal government's not going to recognize it. They're going to poo-poo it and say, we don't care about this.
So it's not for the people.
But what happens when the people there just say, we the people have a right to choose who governs us. We have all voted. It is confirmed. So as far as we're concerned, they say, bye-bye. What are they going to do? Send state police into these areas and occupy it?
I don't know. I don't know what I can say. I have so many thoughts, but I don't want to say them here.
This will be interesting because these people want to be part of America. They're not seceding from the union. They want to join Idaho, right?
Yeah.
So if they keep paying federal taxes, the feds are like, we don't got anything to do with this. So Oregon will have to send state police to the eastern counties to enforce what tax collection? If they say we're going to start paying to Idaho because we voted and as far as we're concerned, we recognize this.
I hope they do it.
They voted for it. If we're a country founded upon the idea that you needed the consent of the governed. So how does the United States of any capacity from state, city to country justify telling 5 counties who voted to secede that they're not allowed to?
I think this proves to you that voting doesn't matter and that they don't care at all what we say or what we feel. It's just a cash grab. Who knows who's in whose pockets, but we don't matter and what we want doesn't matter at all. But I really hope they join Idaho. I love Idaho. It touches my state. They're wonderful people. Beautiful. So come Greater join Idaho. Us. Yeah. Greater Idaho would be one wonderful. French fries, potatoes.
The state of Jefferson. You've got, I think it's 1 or 2 counties in northern Colorado that want to join Wyoming, I think it is.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because they're like cattle ranchers and they're like, why are we following the laws of this like blue state, you know?
Isn't it beautiful? Two realities. People in the cities are in the hive mind. They're insane. They're Agent Smith. Me too. They're all the same thing. So guys, go be happy with yourselves and pat each other's backs and let us run around with our guns and our glory and our pride. And I guess, I don't know, we'll share the military.
I don't know. I think
custody of the kids.
Yeah, no, maybe Michael was talking about that. Like, there would be a peaceful divorce, but there would be a common defense. You know what I mean?
Nah, it wouldn't happen. If someone tried to leave the United States, the military would take it back. And occupy it? Yeah.
Good luck.
And then reinstall a governor. If Texas tried to secede, they'd blockade the entire Texas Gulf. They'd send in military forces to conquer this new country of Texas.
You know why it wouldn't work?
Well, a lot of reasons.
It would enrage the people more. So if you have 35% of a state voting for secession from the union, and 60 or so or 50% completely abstain, and then only like 20% or less, you know, like 15% object, the vote carries. The state secession is passed. The feds come in and then start saying, we're going to occupy and reinstall the new government. And then those uninitiated 50% who didn't care and didn't vote all of a sudden are like, what's going on? They're all angry. The best example of this is the Loudoun County schools. You got critical race theory, weird culture warriors always yelling about the social justice warriors. And then the woke people are like, well, actually, I... And then the regular moms are the ones who stand up screaming like, why is this happening? We don't want any of this. And it turns out the most powerful force was the sleeping giant, the regular people who don't care. That's the big challenge right now. And I think this is one of the things that the government is really, really terrified of, because more and more jurisdictions are saying they want to secede from different jurisdictions. If a state truly did say we want out, occupation in the era of social media means instant and rapid support for the cause.
Or you could see, like, you know, the state of Washington secedes and then China invades. And then the United States counters it to defend it, and it's a proxy war like Vietnam, and the entire state gets leveled to the ground. Bad, bad, bad all around to separate pieces. Because like, they could be like, yeah, you can leave the United States, but you're not taking our land.
Everything we do from here on out is going to be horrible. I don't think there's a beautiful, hopeful future for any side at this point.
I've been reading about like the Romans, the history of the Romans. You know, they would send like 30,000 men to battle, and they would all get killed in a day. Oh, 30,000, like the entire city would be wiped out in a day. And it would take hundreds of years to get back to where they had been.
I think we're going to be all right. I think because of the era of fourth and fifth generational warfare, the worst case scenario will be skirmish violence, like small pockets. And then if it does escalate to that point, it will be a somewhat peaceful divorce. I say somewhat because it's almost impossible to maintain this full level of violence just because social media, the rapid sharing of videos and photos. Now, the one thing that could change that, I suppose, is the pure hatred of the other tribe, which is like, it is deep right now. The left, the things I see them post on Reddit, I'm like, the paranoid, delusional reality these people live in.
It's crazy.
And there's no convincing them otherwise. They don't want to. I have family members and friends who have just completely lost it. And they say things to me on Facebook that I'm like, that's not real. Like, let me show you that it's not real. And they're like, no,
it doesn't
shut
matter
up.
If you show them. It's right. Almost like a woman whose husband has abused her for years. She just can't leave him, and she will protect him. And all the lies that she is like this web of deceit to the point where she almost believes it. It's like Stockholm syndrome. I just help
look,
us.
Look
it's, help me.
Oh, a great metaphor. You're in the mud pit with them, and they're like throwing mud at you, and you're like, no, there's something here that's really valuable. Look, let me show you. And you pull this ring out of the mud, but it's all muddy, and you throw it at them because you're like, this is it. It's this piece of information, but it's all covered in mud. So to them, it just looks like you're slinging mud at them.
I used to be that person where everyone's like, no, let me tell you about Trump. I'm like, no, orange man bad. Anderson Cooper said orange man bad, and bad man is orange. And that was me. And I didn't even watch news. I had this big opinion because I was programmed. And then I finally pulled myself out.
How'd you get out? Do you remember when Alyssa Milano tweeted, he is literally orange, and that's part of his strategy or something like that? Like, she was actually mad that he was orange?
She sucks. I'm sorry. She sucks. How did I get out?
Yeah, how'd you get out of it?
I watched the Both Sides video, the real one.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
What's that?
The one that they didn't manipulate with reality TV editing, which I understand very much because I worked also behind the scenes on reality TV shows doing Frankenbites and manipulating things to make people say things they didn't. And when I saw that they did that to Trump, what they used to do to me on TV, it was like the Matrix, all the code was all in front of me. And I'm like, oh my God, our news is a reality TV show. And everything, they're like, how can we manipulate this for cash?
Do you know who was running CNN?
A reality TV show producer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we had a reality TV show president.
Yeah, look at that.
That's right. Yeah, you have a reality TV show contestant here.
Talking politics.
Everything is the Truman Show.
There's a conspiracy theory that the show is not live.
It was actually recorded in 1877.
True, yes.
It is live.
We went back in time.
It is live because I'm really trying to watch my mouth. Anybody out there knows.
I don't understand why anyone would think that, because we have like super chats and I read them, right? And you can see them and then we read them.
No, Tim, it's quantum tunneling.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
The joke I made was that we record the show after the show comes out. We go back in time and then upload it through a time vortex.
It's like Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Cellar Door.
Love it.
Okay. That's a good movie. Let's read Super Chats. My friends, if you have not already, please tap that like button. Give a little tap to show that you like the show. Subscribe to the channel. Share it with your friends. If you're listening on podcasts, give us a good review. And don't forget, go to timcast.com. Become a member. We are going to have, I will call it a juicy and salacious Hollywood tale. How about that?
Oh, God.
No?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Timcast.com, members only, around 11 or so. But let's read some super chats. Okay, what's this one? Bogdanoff says, Tim, I smashed the like button like you said, and now it's asking for child support. That's awfully quick.
Whoopsie.
To ask for child support. You'd imagine that would take at least 9 months.
Time.
All right, let's see. Ronan Jack says, third place in the hammer throw does not a Thor make. That is correct.
Burn.
Oh, these super chats are from earlier in the show, but I'll Fight You Naked says, being of Korean heritage, I think it is terribly important for Tim to weigh in on the British kid that just declared himself to be a non-binary trans Korean.
Oh.
Even spent $150,000 on surgery to look the part. I mean, I'm chill. Everybody should want to be Korean.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, so you guys never age. Bring it over here.
I know, right?
Even Yeonmi, who is here, who's Korean, thought I was 10 years younger than I am.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. And she is from Korea. North Korea, to be exact.
It's nonsense.
All right. Jack O'Neill says, will your new paranormal show investigate Cheyenne Mountain? We need to know why it takes so much energy and Air Force funding.
Yeah.
I believe that is a 100% yes, of course.
I got a private tour there because of military friends when they were shutting it down. And I was like, interesting, you're moving all this stuff in here. Shutting it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard that you see phenomenon when there's rushing water underground, underneath areas, like that'll cause electromagnetic activity. Sometimes ghosts are seen in areas like that. Under mountains, maybe.
Ghosts are under mountains. I do enjoy your brain.
I think I was in Brazil. I can't remember exactly where. And I went to an abandoned military base, and it was so creepy.
I agree there's been some creepy crap I've seen in my life, but I've never seen like a ghost like, yo, what's up, Abu?
Have you ever seen those like floating orbs?
No.
Like balls of light that like you see in your peripheral or anything, or sometimes they show up on cameras.
I mean, I used to do a lot of hallucinogenics and I saw a lot of things. Mm-hmm.
Tell me more.
I stopped seeking those answers that I always lost once I sobered up.
All right. David Flores says, Tim, I recently purchased the I Am a Gorilla t-shirt and wore it to work and it was a big hit. Of course, the best shirt ever. Go to timcast.com, click the store. Oh, you have one.
Yeah. I was actually stoked. I love free things and you gave me a free thing.
Yes. They
I'm gonna wear
they
it
really, time. You know.
Darkened it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
That was a little dark.
Yeah. Like you can't even see the suit. He's a gorilla wearing
a
suit.
It's a free shirt and I got a shirt from Luke too. So I'm double dipped. I've got them both.
Nice.
All right. Anchor Agarwal says, has Adrian checked out Anarchist Handbook, My Malice, or Enough Already by Scott Horton? If so, any thoughts? Also, what would Adrian recommend for a city person who wants to adjust to the country?
Okay. I have the handbook in my hotel room, and I need to start reading it, but I was stuck into Jordan Peterson's book. Oh, so I'm like, I'm going to get there. How to adjust. You know, you think that you can't adjust. You just get over it. It takes a month to learn new habits. You move out to the middle of nowhere. I thought I was going to mentally break where I live now because there, I think I went 6 months without seeing a human being at a certain point. And I was just like, okay. But you can do it. You can do anything you want to do. But just make yourself busy, man. Because if you're like unplugging from the matrix and you go somewhere rural and you don't have something to do, you might lose your mind. We got a garden.
We got an important one here. The Real Hydro says, Ian, because I love you and I'm a true friend, those glasses are too small for your face.
Thank you, sir.
Look at me.
They're also kind of dirty, I think.
I don't think they're too small.
They actually are a little too small
really?
For your face.
Really?
Wow.
I had these like round, like John Lennon round ones. Maybe I'll get another pair of those.
Huh. But it doesn't matter. Can you see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw it.
There you go.
All right. Peter Watkins says, Ian, until you fold one and hand it to a grieving wife, of course you don't know why that cloth is so important.
The symbolism. I don't know, man. I won't die for a symbol.
J-Max says, I did a ceremony flag burning in the Air Force. The flag is a symbol of freedom, especially those that have fought for that freedom or have lost people defending that freedom. As burning goes, I have the same stance on drugs. I agree with its legality, but not with the morality. Yeah, I feel that way. I don't like people burning the flag, but I respect their right to burn their own private property.
I don't like prostitution, but I think it should be legal. Mm. You know?
There's a lot of challenges that... Something interesting's happened. Because the Democrats have lost the plot, I'm seeing a lot of, like... A lot of people embrace religion.
I found God again last year. Agnostic for years. Yeah. And I was like, yep, nope. Good and evil. I'm on the side of good.
And it's resulting in a lot of really... I think it's opening the door for former liberals to actually hear legitimate conservative arguments on why they want certain things to be illegal, like marijuana or prostitution. And there's a lot of interesting points that you don't hear when you're in the liberal bubble. You don't hear the real arguments.
Why would you want marijuana illegal? What's the argument for that? Are you guys familiar with that?
I'm not going to pretend to speak on the actual arguments because that's kind of the point. Like I've never actually heard like a real, I've heard a few of them in recent because I'm now having more conversations, but it has to do with like the breakdown of society and community and like social cohesion.
Look at what happened to Colorado when they legalized weed.
Yeah. Nothing crime good. Went up, right?
Yeah. Nothing
well,
good.
It's like when it comes to prostitution, when it comes to marijuana and these things, there's a limit in, first of all, can you actually ban them anyway? Otherwise people just do it. But also with I think it's misplaced enforcement. When we had social enforcement of, hey, don't do drugs and don't do these things like lewd, lascivious things, there was social cohesion and that was a byproduct of it. So I think a lot of conservatives misplace the loss of social cohesion seeking legal ramifications for these. You know what I mean? Like make it illegal and that will bring back what we had before when what we had before
when
was
when we had a moral compass.
Right.
Yeah. Or at least the facade of one where we pretended we were better than what we are.
So, yeah, I think this reminds me a little bit of how parents looked at kids who had high self-esteem, who did really well in life, and they decided that it was because they had self-esteem and not that they were like strong students and good, upstanding young people that they actually had self-esteem. So it's a case of, I think, inverted causality. I think that's very much the same way for marijuana and stuff.
You know, you guys can't get me anymore, but I really do appreciate the Daily Wire producing that cut of me being trolled by the chat over Michael Knowles' book.
So good.
Fine Castle IE says, is Tim now humiliating his chat trolls? I'm speechless. Next, he will control her words and her mind, like what Michael Knowles said in his upcoming book, now on pre-order on Amazon.
You can order it now.
Yeah, you can actually order it right now. Yeah, Michael Knowles has a book. I know. People are, do you know? You're familiar with the meme.
Yeah.
Oh, man. People are asking about my waifu. Okay, moving on.
When you were talking about drugs, were you saying that like back in the day, there was social cohesion and they were attacking drugs, and now there's no social cohesion and a lot of drugs are legal, so people are thinking that it's because there's drugs are legal that we've lost social cohesion,
yes.
But it's not?
Basically, 80 years ago, everybody was like, hey, man, don't do these drugs and, you know, don't be a prostitute. And they were all like, okay, social enforcement. It's kind of like what Jordan Peterson says about monogamy. Over time, society becomes less and less cohesive.
Yeah, especially with the internet.
Oh, definitely. It decentralizes diaspora. Different communities or different things. And then you end up with people saying, we need to ban these lewd, lascivious, and degenerate things to return to when our society was actually functioning, was more functional than it is today, because this fighting is destroying us. There's an interesting point that we're becoming, as a country, extremely dysfunctional, like talking about peaceful divorce. Some people genuinely believe if we have enforcement of certain, like, moral laws or whatever, it'll bring us back to those points where we had cohesion.
You're still going to have prostitution and drugs. And the fun part of both was getting away with it. Now when it's legal, what is fun about this? Everything's legal. I'm like, this isn't even fun.
I think a lot of marijuana psychosis comes from it being illegal, like being afraid. For me, I was afraid I was going to get caught.
They legalized it everywhere and I quit. Really? I was like, this is stupid now.
It was better in L.A. when it was legal.
Well, what, when Obama was raiding everything?
Yeah.
It was shortly after, like 2017, it was nice.
All right, Miles Kinslow says, hey guys, Tim, you have one legend here. Adrian, I remember seeing you from America's Next Top Model. It's amazing to see how much you've grown. Also, loved your interviews with Howard Stern. Wish you the best.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
How many did you do with Howard?
Three. I was his first celebrity guest on his Sirius and one of his last on his radio, but...
Cool.
Yeah. I've lived a lot of life.
A lot of Howard Stern lately. You have?
I've lived a lot of life. I can't stand his TDS, but I still like him because I'm not a bigot.
That's right.
And that's what you do when you're not a bigot.
Skeptic says, Tim, can you address your tweet thread about anonymous users? How is it different than you towing the line with YouTube's terms of service? Respectfully, Alex. I have no idea how the YouTube's terms of service relates to the thread about anonymous users. But we did mention this. I thought it was really funny how I tweeted something like, stop responding to accounts that don't use their real avatars or names and watch political discourse greatly improve. And that is a fact. And a bunch of people got really mad and they were like, no. And then people made videos like, Tim is melting down. And I was like, I have 825,000 followers. I can tweet something like, I picked some fresh raspberries today and there will be like a communist squirrel saying something like, you're so dumb because those aren't raspberries, they're salmon berries or something ridiculous. And if I respond, they're just baiting me into wasting my time. I have too many followers. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's hard to sift through, so I barely even look at the replies to my tweets.
You got
to
be a last worder. I was like, dear Twitter, you are all horrible human beings. I hate all of you. You're just vile, disgusting creatures. And I was like, deactivate. And you know they're like, bah! Like they started coming in. I was like, goodbye.
This is something really interesting that happened today that greatly exemplifies why Twitter is destroying everything. So Right Wing Watch got banned. And I tweeted, we wrote up a story for TimCast.com, and I tweeted, you are burned by your own fire. This is what happens when you advocate for censorship. You get what you've asked for. And then within a few hours, they got reinstated. On Twitter, I have 280 characters. So I say, you got burned by your own fire. On YouTube, in my 25-minute video, I was like, look, YouTube will probably reinstate them. They'll say it was a mistake because it's probably the algorithm that's just hunting them down.
That doesn't matter. They only get their news from Twitter, Tim.
But on Twitter, without the full context, now like Keith Olbermann's tweeting at me, and he's like, what was that all about? And I was like, as I explained in my, 20-minute breakdown of what was going on in my opinions on these things, I gave the full context as to, of course, Right Wing Watch is going to get reinstated.
Yeah,
idiots don't commit to 25 minutes of words.
Of course.
They're like, with 30 seconds or less, and throw a cat in there.
Carl Sagan talked about it.
Oh, what did he say?
That excerpt from his book that goes viral every so often where he's like, there's going to be a future where people want sound bites.
Yeah, I tweet about that.
Yep. Tiny sound bites, 10 seconds, and they're too dumb, not paying attention. And it's like, that's where we're at. There's a study that came out. NBC News reported on it. You get, I think, 67% more engagement if you insult a political enemy.
Oh, my gosh.
Twitter is awful.
It's a witch hunt. It's the Salem witch trials, which women were in charge of. You know what happened, Ian?
I think my ancestor, Ann Putnam, was...
Let's pretend you're my husband and I thought you looked at the neighbor bending over. I'd be like, she's a witch. I saw her worshiping Lucifer. And then I'm like, ha ha.
You know, they were tripping on ergot.
Yeah. And they were also trying to protect their husband's roving eyes. And she's a witch. They were all in control. And the men thought, oh, look, we're burning witches. We're the big men. And all the women are like idiots burning everyone we hate.
All right. Speaking of witches, Chris Brown says, Ian, stop it. We do not live in a patriarchy. Women control and teach our children. Divorce rate is what? Who usually gets the kid in the divorce? who then grow up and rule.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't say we live in a patriarchy or a matriarchy, but there are aspects of patriarchal like relics in our society.
That is because we're based on Judeo-Christian principles.
Yeah.
All right. Trigger happy SJW says Adrian is the manliest person in the room. She could probably bench Tim.
Oh. Yes, look at those guns.
I'm actually, that's why I had to marry such an alpha male, so I could finally feel like a woman.
No, it's nice, right?
Like, I'm a lady, finally.
Yeah, he's fighting grizzly bears with his bare hands.
Well, no. He would probably die. And then I would have to kill it and then cry over my fallen warrior. Oh, so terrible. Let's not.
Do you guys have a plan when you're walking together? Like, you flank out to the right, I'll hit him in the front.
His whole thing is, like, if I'm down and you have to do it, he's like, babe, don't shoot me. Because, like, I'm, like, crazy. I get crazy. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm all stressed out, the anxiety. And I'm going to be like, oh, and he's, you know. He's like, you know, that you won't miss there.
Here's a good one. Angel Joy says, imagine taking a walk as a child with your parents. You hear a dog growl close by. You immediately go to your dad, who will protect you. The next minute, you scrape your knee and go to your mom to kiss it. God protects.
You're cruising down the highway. Windows rolled down. Tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very Taoist.
I like that.
It's beautiful. It's meant to be, man. That's what we do.
Ben Walker says, Ian, don't get caught up in the literal for our father. It's symbolic. I recommend you check out Jordan Peterson's biblical lectures on YouTube, loved by both atheists and theists, at least according to the comments.
Lydia. Yeah. Lydia was just telling me that on Friday or Thursday.
Friday night after the show, I was like, hey, you should really check out what Jordan Peterson has to say.
I could watch him all day.
All day. So good.
All day. I love him.
And he talks about the Bible.
Chimpanzee full of snakes.
That's right.
What an epic bonus.
He talks about the Bible.
Adam says, Montana is a terrible place where the men are bold and the women are cold. Not you, Adrian. And you darn near freeze to death. You can send us envelopes stuffed with cash and we'll send you a postcard of Glendive and some license plates. I hear Colorado's nice.
No, don't go to Colorado.
It's already infiltrated.
I know.
Everyone just go to Colorado.
Ghost Crusader says, finding out that Adrian is only a year older than me when I would watch her on My Fair Brady truly makes me want to cry. Ugh, I wasted my life.
I'm so sorry. I did too. So many years down the toilet.
You got this. So when you weren't having contact with like people, what were you doing up in the mountains?
What? In the mountains?
Yeah, like there's no people.
Like being more and more insane, prepping for the apocalypse. Every moment prepping for the apocalypse where my husband finally was just like, woman! Stop watching all this crap. What are you going to do? I'm like, well, what are you going to do? He's like, well, if, you know, S hits the fan, then I engage. He's like, but what are you going to do worrying about it all the time? And then finally I found peace. But I go outside. We hike. We have animals. I love to watch the wildlife. We have hummingbirds flying in the window and we're nursing them back to life. And they're like, wee. I feel like Snow White.
When it hits the fan and you guys are in your bunker, and then he comes out of the bathroom and he's like, you know, wiped his butt. He's going to be like, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Thank you for everything you've done.
Yeah. No, my husband knows I run the ship and I know, I know he puts the ship together.
There you go.
And that is what we do.
Teamwork.
David Palmer says, is it pretty women that secretly run the world and ugly are mad about it?
Yeah. I heard that all war is about women, fought over women. Is that
true? Spices.
Oh,
or religion.
Food.
Yeah, food wars. Who started that? Rome. They're like, hey, we love food.
Isn't it like more people have died over food tasting good than anything else?
No, yeah, have you heard the joke? Huh? Have you heard the joke how funny it is that British people wage so many wars and colonize so many places for spices and now they literally don't put any on their food?
Yeah.
You want to hear a joke that I was told when I went to Norway?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is this allowed on YouTube? I was told this by some Norwegians, and they're a very woke culture. They said, how come there are no pretty women in Great Britain?
How come?
Because we stole them all. That I was told that by some like
I think that's literal though, the Viking raids.
Right? I don't think it's a joke. I think he was being serious.
It really happened.
He's like, I was just teaching you, you know, Norwegian history.
Terrifying.
No, it is true though. They that's what that's.
Well, that's all the beautiful Russian women are here because they're like mail order, get me out.
Yep. Russia sucks.
It's also kind of cool.
Very cool.
But then it kind of sucks. Yeah. And then it's cool again.
Ray Corin says, Ian, your lack of knowledge of Christianity is astounding. To be fair, I think everyone here has a lack of knowledge of Christianity. Seamus is probably one of the most well-versed. Please watch the series The Chosen. You can download the app and watch for free. Largest crowd-funded show in history.
Hmm. Wow. It is true. I don't have much theology.
Jack Murphy's been reading the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Really? I saw that.
Yeah. You know Jack Murphy?
Yes.
He's been reading the Bible.
I just got a hand-painted Bible from my sister-in-law. Oh. It was used, and it's beautiful, and it's sitting there, and I'm like... Well, I suppose I should do this because I started asking her. I'm like, is there any verses in the Bible about being a better wife or this
so
or that?
Many.
Yeah. And then she like gives me this book and I'm like, okay, God, I guess I got to read your book.
Proverbs 31. Yeah. The Bible talks. Ian, I would recommend you read the 31st Proverb because it lays out the ideal woman and she is not a passive stay at home woman. She works. She has her own business. She runs her family. She knows what's up. And the Bible, they put her price, quote unquote, far above rubies. And I'm like, that's really powerful. That's really meaningful.
Interesting.
Matt Bowler says, might have to hire Tim as a matchmaker because he keeps having beautiful, common sense, no nonsense women on who would make great mates.
Oh, honey, I am so taken. Oh, we don't stay on the market, sane women.
That's
the insane women keep... You know, functioning
it's
through.
True. It's true.
Break up.
Drew Richmond says, Tim, around 100,000 Chinese men built trenches in France for the Triple Entente in World War I. Some stayed after and married locals. There is also a theory that the Chinese workers spread the Spanish flu to Kansas when they traveled through Canada. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Wolfstar says, Tim now supports cancel culture. In regards to the Olympic athletes not facing the flag for the anthem, I've never seen anyone flip on a stance so fast. What's the full context of me supporting cancel culture for saying, no disrespect, if you don't want to be there, why don't you leave so someone else can be there?
Thanks for giving him your money for your stupid opinion.
Thanks, Adrian.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I actually think I have a fairly nuanced take on cancel culture anyway. Like, we've had this conversation. Tucker Carlson was asked by somebody, what would you allow someone on the show if they used a racial slur? And he said, I would. They're like, exactly. There are limits. And so I can't remember who we were talking about this, we were talking to about this, that conservatives have a misunderstanding of free speech. And are making a mistake by defaulting to we should allow all free speech.
Yeah, we have a list of things that we talk about with every guest before we do the show, show, that you can't say, don't do this, don't talk about this.
Yeah, but that's
moderate. That's not your fault.
No,
censor yourself so no one else has to.
That's us saying don't swear, and like YouTube has two very specific things they'll ban us for if you say.
Yeah, it's important. Don't bang the table.
And we even after the swearing thing, we're like, if you swear, you know.
It's kind of funny.
You know. But it's not like we're saying you can't talk about your opinions on, you know.
You can't talk about the opinions that YouTube doesn't want you to talk about.
Which are the things I want to talk about.
Which is everything I want to talk about and believe in completely.
There are a handful of things, absolutely. But that's why we had to set up the website. Because it's the risk is, do we just shut the show down?
Oh, I signed up. Yeah.
That is reality, though.
It's the future of internet broadcasts. Direct to TV, direct to your
unfortunately.
Show.
But there's, like we had, when we had Bannon on, the first thing I asked him was the one thing that YouTube would insta-ban us for.
I watched it. It was so good.
Just can't repeat what he said, though.
I'm not going to say a word, but every single word that was said, I loved. You know, I used to hate him because of my Democratic Southside Chicago programming. I knew nothing about him. And I watched him on your show, and I was like, hey, that's that guy that I used to be programmed to like. I'm like, I love everything he has to say.
That's a normal guy. He's not far. Like, he says he's far right, but I'm like.
What's far right about him? Everyone's far right. Yeah. That's not crazy purple haired screaming and ripping out their own flesh. I feel like everyone is far right anymore. Liberals are far, Bill Maher, everyone's far right.
Did you see on the show when he was like talking about the election? And I was like, we'll save it. And he goes, I'm not going to say the magic words.
Yeah.
And then
he's not a YouTube. Dumb man. Oh, yeah.
I noticed with a lot of the comments for the Steve Bannon stuff was I didn't know anything about this guy except for what I heard through the mainstream news. He's nothing like what they said he was like.
Oh, they're liars.
They demonized him.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy how he's like, we got to help the working class people and tax the rich.
Yeah. He was like tax the rich. And I'm like, oh, my God. And they brainwashed poor people to hate this man. Mm-hmm. It's just insane.
It's really weird. William J.S. says, Timcast show, you deserve all the success with your hard work and dedication. Oh, and did Uncle Eddie, Luke, run away again? No, Luke, we puke. Luke, did a great little presentation at Porkfest.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It was great. He's got a flamethrower, and he says something like, freedom, like this flamethrower, can be dangerous. And then I think he said something like, but it's all a lot of fun or whatever, and then he fires the flamethrower. And no, but it was a good point. Freedom is dangerous. Yeah. Like, we need responsibility. You know, you've got a lot of people who are like, I don't trust you with your freedom, so we should control everything you do. You have the other people who are like, yeah, well, you know, I trust myself to keep myself safe. So you do your thing, and I'll keep myself. I'll worry about myself.
I don't know if you saw the Friday show with Yunmi. Is that her name?
Yunmi.
Yunmi. I wasn't on the show, but I watched some of it, and she was saying that freedom is painful for mm-hmm. someone that has never experienced because you have to think for yourself, and it's dangerous and scary that you do it wrong.
When I was in Moscow, the Moscow Times had a poll about freedom, and it said, is freedom good or bad? And it said 98% of the people polled said that freedom was a bad thing. They also had an image of Jessica Simpson in the back as an escort. Apparently, in Moscow, you could hire Jessica Simpson as an escort. Mm-hmm. I took a picture, and then TMZ stole it and didn't even give me credit and did an article with my picture, like in 2008. I was like, you
jerks.
Jerks. Yeah.
Luke Dabb says, Adrian just referenced Return to Oz, The Dark Crystal, The Neverending Story, and full-out quoted Bilbo Baggins. Did we just become best friends?
Yes, I'm old and I'm a nerd.
Old nerd.
Yeah, it's a true story. I met my husband on Twitch playing... not World of Warcraft, the card game. That's like World of Warcraft.
Hearthstone?
Yep. That's how I met my husband.
Were you playing against each other? Or you just saw him playing?
No, I streamed out of nowhere and I played it and he came in. I'm like, Duck Sauce, isn't that big WoW streamer? I was like, I play WoW and I'm a guild master. And he's like, and I'm a guild master. And he was Horde and I was not. And then I factioned and server changed and
said there can be only one.
Yeah.
Who challenged him for the title of guild master and defeated him.
No, he was the guild master because of the patriarchy.
That's what, right.
Which expansion was it?
Oh my God. What Nightfallen? What were the elves that were like zombie things? I totally forget what expansion that was. We lost interest completely after
what
Wrath.
Year? Not the Draenor, right?
Met in 2015. No, Wrath of Lich King was the best expansion of all space time. But I don't even remember were we on Pandaria or whatever?
Was it Death Knights?
Oh, Pandaria. That was the end.
I introduced that. I was hosting BlizzCon for DirecTV, and they showed the pandas, and then they came to me on live TV, and I was with, like, Swifty, the WoW player, and I had them in my microphone. They're like, what do you think? And I was like,
Yeah, it was bad.
Wrath was awesome.
Wrath was the best.
They let you fly.
Oh, my
Epic.
God. Everything about Arthas was good. Everything about Arthas.
It's such a sad story. What class and race are you?
Pandaria was like, that's when I was like, I'm not interested in ever playing this. And then I played again in Legion. I played Legion.
Yeah, Legion.
What class and race?
I was Draenei Death Knight. And then before that, I was Night Elf Warrior. And then with my husband, of course, I have to be pretty. So I was a Blood Elf. Oh. I hate being an orc. I don't want to be an ugly thing.
Right. Well, cute.
I want to be hot with hooves.
Isn't it like foreign. Amazingly racist? They made Kung Fu pandas and Jamaican trolls.
They even talk with that accent.
I know. It's like, That's so.
I didn't even think of it that way. I don't. Who cares? You would go to escape and not care. I hate PC. Crap.
The Kung Fu Panda thing. I laughed like when I saw that came out. I was
you
like,
sent it to me. I was like, what the heck is this?
It was so
Kung
stupid.
Kung Fu Panda.
Pandas like, are Chinese. Is that what this is from? So is Kung Fu. It's just very like didn't culturally
it,
did, appropriate.
Didn't it happen like right after Kung Fu Panda came out?
No. Yeah, wasn't it? It was a while after. I just remember it was awful.
I blew through it. I got the expansion later after it was already onto the next expansion, so I just flew through it 10 levels and out. But it was terrible.
I just canceled my subscription, and I haven't played now in years. Every time something new comes out, I'll, like, puddle around for a second, and I'm like, this sucks.
I still have one because I played... what's the new expansion called?
Was it the that's what I was saying. Was it the zombie elves?
Yeah.
Those cool night elves that are like zombies and they need like drugs. They need meth.
What's the... I don't even remember the latest expansion. I played the latest one where they go to the other side.
That's how much
Burning
it
Crusade?
Sucked.
No.
Burning
no.
Legion? Is that
no,
what
this no. is it, like Cataclysm, all that stuff. This is why it sucked so bad. We can't even remember what we committed time to say this sucked.
Yeah, I made a Demon Hunter and then I played like one level and quit.
Yeah, I had a Demon Hunter too. I don't even remember what
when
it
Classic made. Came out, I played again for sure.
It was fun.
Like, yay, Classic.
I didn't play Classic. My husband was like, I spent my entire life playing Classic to get to this point. Why do I want to relive that?
Yeah, it started to feel like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We'll do a couple more and then
sorry for the Warcraft.
I could do a whole Warcraft show, man.
Oh yeah, we
Arthas.
But yeah. That's
Uther?
A cool story.
Dude,
Arthas.
Uther.
The trailer for Wrath was so amazing.
What's like I will still watch it.
I know.
My husband does voiceovers and he can do that perfect, that dude. He's like, my son.
One
I'm
day.
Like, ah, do it again.
It's so well done. Blizzard makes amazing short films, like The Last Bastion. Do you see that one?
No.
Overwatch?
Mm-mm.
Man, that one was
I
so
never
incredible.
I got into Overwatch. My husband played it all the time, always late to dinner.
What I didn't like is that the reticule doesn't move when you run. It's just perfectly still in the middle of the screen, so there's no, like, gunplay challenge. Whereas, like, Plan Borderlands, PC. Your gun's bouncing around. You got to, like, hold your breath.
He was
and
always
aim.
That hunter guy because he was a hunter in WoW. And he's a hunter in real life. He likes
Hanzo?
Someone. Yeah. He always played that
That's
dude.
Genji's brother.
Yeah.
All right, we'll just do it. We got one more here. Germ Grave says, tell Duck to stream again, Plox. I miss his arena matches.
Yeah, he's not going to do it. My husband left Twitch and I left Hollywood and it's a good thing.
And now you're mountain recluses.
Yeah. We hate everyone. We're not going to give you entertainment.
Well, my friends, we are going to give you entertainment. So go to TimCast.com, become a member because we're going to have a bonus segment coming up. And you can follow the show at TimCast IRL on Facebook and Instagram. We want to leverage these networks, get everybody to the website. Make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, and follow me personally at TimCast. We do the show Monday through Friday live at 8 p.m. Plus, we got the vlog from Cast Castle. That's happening every week. And we just hired, or just about to hire, 3 people. We've, like, confirmed details with everybody, so now it's just paperwork. And then daily vlogs every day. Do you want to, Adrian, shout anything out? Social media or...
At Adrian Curry everywhere except for Twitter. Yeah, that's pretty much it. AdrianCurry.com, whatever. I'm not really that active, and it's fine if you don't check me out because I get it.
But they'll see you in the chat.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I'm going to troll it as much as I used to now. There's no fun when you guys see my face.
Glad you're here.
Thanks.
You guys follow me at IanCrossland.net and at Ian Crossland on social media. Thanks a lot.
Well, this has been an incredibly fun conversation with Adrian. I've really enjoyed this. I've enjoyed being around another Amazonian woman, I have to say. That
it
means a great deal to me. To feel like feminine, it's a big deal, right? You want to feel feminine. You want to feel pretty and petite. A very
We're never those
you're
things
tall.
Unless you're around giants.
Dude, I know. You guys can follow me at Sour Patch Lids on Twitter as I attempt to gain more followers than Sour Patch Kids.
How's that coming, by the way?
So far, so good. We're getting closer, but Sour Patch Kids is also getting more followers, too.
Stop you have to show them. Skin on Instagram. No one follows you unless you show skin.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's okay. Like, what's with your followers? I'm like, I put it all away. Sorry. Yeah. Still there. It's just not for you.
That's right.
We will see all of you over at TimCast.com. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.